The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful,
man. Unlike you, I actually use these things. Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and the place is abuzz because they're getting ready for the premiere, which is what they call now the annual big fundraiser for the Patriots Charitable Foundation. So that's going to happen right on the field, right at the 50-yard line tonight. So they're getting ready for that. That's big time because the whole team, it's mandatory. All the team is there, Bill Belichick, and like I said, it's the main fundraiser for the Charitable Foundation every year.
Looks like it's going to be pretty cool. Lights and red carpets and that kind of stuff out there.
Yeah.
Lightning.
That's so,
the first thing that's outside.
He's so negative.
Torrential rain.
So while they're getting ready for that, team is obviously getting ready for preseason game 4 here at Gillette Stadium against the New York Giants. We don't have any idea who's going to play and how much. Chances are Brady won't play, although I wouldn't be surprised if he's in for a series or two.
That's a good sentence.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's out there.
Because of the Ryan Morey.
Because of the way they played last week?
Yeah.
The human tarp.
Cover the whole
field. The
tarp
is all over everything. We got it all covered. He might play, might not play. He could play. Wouldn't surprise me.
There have been times that, as Bill would say, we've done it pretty much both ways. We've had him play in this game, and we've had him not play in this game.
Right.
And it doesn't even matter what Bill says. Like last week when he said, it's good to have the starters come out in the third quarter and have to go through that process of coming out of the locker room, and then they didn't.
Andy's here. Eric's here. Paul's here. Fred's here. Kevin's in the booth. 508-298-0398 or 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We expect full participation today.
I forget what it was for,
participation,
Freddie.
Too.
I forget what it was for, but I saw a commercial that had an 855 number on it.
Yeah, oh, they're out there.
Oh, they have them. They have them.
Was it shady, though?
No.
Was
it was
like
a regular commercial.
The guy from Chips trying to sell you land in Mexico?
No, it was one of those, maybe DirecTV or something. It was like a national
Somebody global
commercial.
Like us.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, the Bank of America 800 or 888 number. If you do 800, it's a chat line. By the way,
you've done it.
Yeah,
800 is chat lines.
Yeah, with the same number at 800 for the Bank of America customer service is a chat line.
Are you adding syllables to words on purpose? Participation.
That's the theme to the show already.
Did you have football concussions as well? Did you bring issues?
I've had a lot of concussions.
You see that bombastic statement?
All his contact
involved in that whole front line.
No.
Apparently, one of the
wait a minute. Now people don't know what that.
Well, it's a big controversy. PBS's front line and ESPN had been in a joint venture on this whole documentary on concussions and all this blah blah blah. ESPN pulled out. People wonder: is it pressure from the NFL? Is it as they're claiming? Clearly, just a part of they didn't have creative control.
Well, the name of the documentary is League of Denial. Is that what it is? Or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But They pulled out after there was a trailer for it that premiered at some big event, and ESPN wasn't comfortable with the tone of it, they claim, and they didn't have any creative control, so they decided they didn't want their name on it, pulled out. If you believe that side of it, the right. other side, the skeptic says, well, your biggest athletic corporate partner wasn't happy that you were in a documentary that's going to probably make them not look very good.
Right.
But one of the issues that actually bothered supposedly the ESPN executives was a woman, scientist, who said, it's possible, or we're looking into the possibility that everyone who's ever played football has some sort of brain damage. You know, varying degrees, obviously, but right. so I was joking with Paul. You know, I played football. I might have brain damage.
Well,
that's my excuse for anything
just,
I say.
I mean, they could probably say the same thing about hockey. You know, they could probably, right. you know, so there's a reason why they wear helmets in those sports.
True.
But anyway. All right. So we got a lot to talk about. Do we want to even talk about that Detroit game from
yes.
last week?
It was kind
you
of a big
to.
Deal.
Yeah.
Was it a big deal?
Yes.
Well, at least two guys who many people have been counting on to be injections of playmaking ability in the form of Shane Vereen and Zach Sudfeld had horrific fumbles.
Right.
Soft.
Terrible fumbles.
Terrible fumbles. And that's a problem. You know, Bill Belichick was clearly pissed the next day when he was asked about sending a message or sending the same message. Right? You know, his voice was almost like that old coot
yeah.
voice of,
right.
you know, it's pretty ridiculous. And we've always said this starting with blah, blah, blah. He went right. on a rant. So, I mean, that's problematic. I don't care how big a fan you are of Shane Vereen like I am. That can't happen. If you get knocked out like Stephen Ridley did last year, okay, you got knocked out. There's right. nothing you can do about that. If a guy puts a helmet right on the ball, okay, I'd like you not to. I'd like you to be able to, but okay, right. there's more reason there. But on these little glancing blows to the arm, the ball can't just pop out.
The only thing you can take from it is that the entire team sucked all night. And it was one of those games. That's the only way you can explain it away and kind of say,
to me, I can see, and turnovers are terrible. I wasn't as upset about those because I think they're going to be correctable, you know.
But maybe.
What I was worried about most was the offensive line. Now, I know the Lions are good. This is what they do. They get after quarterbacks, but they didn't play well, and it wasn't just protecting Brady. It was also against the run.
It was more against
you know,
the run.
More so the run.
Yeah, and when you have guys that get upfield the way the Lions do, you should be able to run on these guys because they're over-aggressive, and they could not do jack against them. I mean, there was nothing there.
Problematic.
And that, to me, was the biggest thing you know I took out of that game that scared me was the play of the offensive line.
And it's also scary because it's exactly what Mankins has been talking about. We don't want to just run when we can beat up on, you know, bully people that aren't good enough.
Like
we want to be
Eagles.
Able to run against teams that actually have defensive lines.
Right.
And that's one of those things you may not know until January. I mean, you may make it through a season where you basically, you know, you play the Falcons and you play these teams and you beat up on them because they're soft, speed-based lines, whatever. And then all of a sudden you play, well, I guess you play the Bengals in the regular season, but you play some stout defensive front and you get your hat handed to you and the season ends because you weren't ready that day. We've seen that before.
Right.
Yeah, the running thing to me, I agree with you, Fred, because Andy's right the way he characterizes the fumbles. I just, you know, I suppose that you'd never know, but I don't really worry about that being a problem because it just has never been a problem.
Right.
And I suppose it's the first time for everything. Maybe this is the year that they turn the ball over recklessly. But
yeah, but it's also a new cast of characters.
That's why I said the way that you characterized it was accurate. You know, the glancing blows and whatnot, Sudfeld. I just don't think that that's going to be something, you know, we're going to have to worry about, you know, turning the ball over four times in our first five possessions. I don't think that's Patriots football as a rule. I'm going to take that as an outlier until I see more.
I don't think there are many teams that do that.
If I see really? Oh, yeah. There were a lot of teams that turned the ball
every
over
game?
Recklessly. Oh, yeah.
Not really?
Look at the turnover stats. There's teams that turn the ball over three times a game. Absolutely.
Look at the Chargers last year. Bad teams.
That's what I'm saying.
The Chargers.
No, we're not used to four times in five in possessions? No. I mean, that's ridiculous. But
be like a record.
There are teams that turn the ball over, you know, 35, 40 times a year. Absolutely. The bad teams. You know, not playoff teams, not the good teams. There's always one team that defies logic. I think
right.
Pittsburgh a couple of years ago won like 12 or 13 games, and they had a minus turnover ratio, which is,
right.
insane for a team that wins. But I'm more concerned about what Andy touched on here. We're wondering when can we run the ball when we need to run the ball. And then again, first sign of that sort of physical front that gets up the field and they couldn't run the ball.
And you know,
that,
even
that to me is concerning.
Even the fourth down conversion. You know, usually the Patriots are pretty good at that. You know, and they went with the jumbo package and
Ballard
they just
got blowed up.
Yeah,
on that one.
They just got stuffed. You know, so that to me, and you know, I'm sure Dante Scarnecchia is on top of it. And just like last year, we had a lot of fear about what was going on, and he allayed those fears, and he was right. And I'm sure that he has confidence in these guys.
There's a difference, though. I'm not worried about Tom Brady running for his life. I'm not worried about that because of Dante and because I know that that doesn't generally happen. I am worried about running the football when they have to run the football. That has not been allayed over the years.
Right.
You know, Dante or no Dante, this team has not been able to run the ball consistently when they have to run the football, when the other team knows they're running the football or whatever. They've, like Andy said, they've beaten up on some smaller fronts. Philadelphia was, I mean, was ridiculous, the size of the guy. I mean, Brandon Graham was out. Is it Brandon Graham, the guy from Michigan?
Yeah.
He's like 260 pounds. You know, he's playing up front. I mean, they were just killing him.
One thing I will say about the Lions is the Lions came out looking for Bear. They you know, that was their Super Bowl.
He just made it.
Oh my.
That was their Super Bowl.
Relax.
They came out, you know.
You're so condescending.
You know, the preseason is their regular season, obviously. What were they, 4-0 last year in the preseason? Then they went 5-11. You know, so they take this preseason very
seriously.
I don't
know what they went in the preseason, but they
only
won 4 games.
And definitely, you know, you talk about coming out flat and which team wanted it more. Definitely, there's no doubt that the Lions wanted that more. And I'm very happy for them, you know, them and their coach Schwartz, that they won the game and now they can, you know.
I'm not a fan of the coach Schwartz.
You know, this is only according to one source, so take it with a grain of salt. But someone who was on the field said that he and Belichick had a little thing after the game.
Well, Bill's right.
They had
words. Stop the presses.
What?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You don't know what the thing was.
Well, what happened?
I think that Bill was mad that they were taking liberties.
The way it was,
they were taking cheap shots.
The way it was described to me is they came for the handshake, which they did. You know, exchange a few words, and then as they were going, as he has done in the past, Schwartz said something, and when he said something, Bill kind of stopped in his tracks and was like, "Huh? What?" And then he went back to Schwartz to. I'm guessing to clarify what he said. And
Schwartz said, take that. Yeah.
And there were like players in between him. So Bill kind of made his way through the players and waited for him. And they ended up catching up and then they walked off together. But there was something that Schwartz said that Bill wasn't or needed some type of clarification about.
Well, Schwartz is weird because Bill calls him like one of the smartest men he's ever been around. And he doesn't seem like that. He's actually more like a Jack Del Rio, a former player.
Yeah.
But usually those are former players,
right?
The guys that came up and the emotion and all that. He coaches like that, even though he's supposedly this cerebral genius. And
who said that?
Bill. Bill has absolutely.
Really?
And
I've never heard the word genius.
Well, I don't know about
maybe
genius.
He hasn't used
called
that
him
word
one of the smartest men he's ever been around.
Yeah, he has.
And he's been
around
a lot of men.
Very highly of his acumen.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He's not the ex player. He should be a smart, kind of level headed.
I think he's ultra competitive, which all these guys are. But he shows it
in an outward way. But I'm just also talking about his team being so chippy and.
You're talking about the demeanor. I'm talking about his discipline.
I'm talking about demeanor.
I don't care about the demeanor.
Yeah.
You hate that. I don't mind it at all. I don't like when he has no control of his players.
His players don't have control of his players.
That to me is the
problem.
They
just run in and hit anything.
And this is a
well,
Schwartz
who was the
era
jackass
problem.
That took Brady in the end zone was pointing, wagging his finger in his face and had him by the
shirt.
No, it wasn't Fairley.
I think it was Young.
Willie Young, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that all about?
Just dumb.
I've never seen that before.
It was a dumb penalty.
He's just taken aback.
Don't you look at that as something that comes from above?
It's a jackass.
I agree. I agree, Barack. I think that comes from above, though. I think that there obviously aren't enough repercussions to prevent players from doing that. When you have the same team that does the same stuff over and over again, maybe you could say, okay, Sue, he's just crazy.
Right.
He's an outlier. But they don't. It's not just Sue. As a matter of fact, ironically enough, he wasn't involved the other night in any of that. He played well, but he wasn't involved in any of that nonsense. You know, and just stupid penalties. I mean, after you get a turnover and the guy is already down, Failey comes over and but if you're going to light someone up and earn it, earn the 15 yards. He taps a guy from behind.
And I don't think – somebody said they were playing dirty. I don't think they were playing dirty. They were just playing
– I thought
like,
they were playing dirty.
Like jackasses.
That's dirty. It's dirty. When you're hitting people from behind around piles and stuff, that's
late,
dirty.
Late
that's
around dirty. Piles from behind. That, to me, that's check, check, check.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
But it was obvious that, you know, oh, these are the Patriots and we're going to show them. And, you know, great.
I mean, he's just cracking me up.
But this is why.
Is this personal because you lost your 23-0 record?
Yeah.
Is this what it is?
I swear to God, I was thinking about that driving home that night.
I was a little upset about that, but that's not what I'm talking about.
You know. Yeah, I think this is just Detroit Lions football under Jim Schwartz. This is what they do. I don't think it was anything different the other night.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I thought the Patriots played poorly. They dropped the ball. Their execution was terrible.
Yeah.
But I thought they came to play. I thought they were involved in a lot of those fracases sticking up for themselves.
Right.
You know, I think they took the game seriously. I just think for whatever reason, they didn't play well.
Yeah, they also had some drives, too, that you know, they sustained them.
They came out that first drive, they came out, went right down the field.
Right, they were
Sudfeld
marching.
Sudfeld fumbles at the five.
That could have changed things.
Right. I would think so. So
to me, when you just have a flat night where you don't come to play, you don't have any intensity, you just get pushed around all night. I don't think that was the case.
Yeah. Now, Mallett, he didn't look good for most part, but he had the one good drive. When he got into the red zone, he stalled. It's the same thing. It's his accuracy. It really is.
It's inconsistency with his throws and with just
decisions.
Everything. Mm. You know, the biggest issue, I think, is the accuracy.
Yeah.
You know, on short throws, throws that should be easy. It's just behind guys, missing a guy in the flat. That can't happen.
Now, that said, if I think that, you know, for whatever reason, he was a number one quarterback and he knew he was going to get the start in week one, two, three, I think he would improve. I think he has upside. I really do.
He does.
Yeah,
I agree. It's kind of what I've been saying. If you put him in Oakland.
Absolutely.
If you put him in Oakland, you'd look at him differently and through the year, you'd see a lot of plays both ways, good and bad.
Yeah, but
you'd
I think he has upside.
He's competitive. He's competitive.
The more you play,
NFL
the more you get better.
So Andy's looking at the year three jump now.
Well, I'm looking more for the Oakland jump or the Arizona jump. He needs to jump out of New England.
I'm going
to
make fun of him for it just because he tortures me, but I understand. There is a difference when a guy hasn't played in the first 2 years.
I know.
What else? Tompkins, I think you have to be pleased with what you saw of him.
Finally. Yeah. Able to get behind the defense and make plays.
Brightest spot of the night.
Finally, in week three of the preseason.
Right.
Well, no, because
we've been waiting for it all season.
People have been sort of anointing him something that
he's
his 5.2 yards a carry, a catch, weren't really indicative of. You know, just catching passes and falling down, you know, as Wes Welker would say, if I catch him in the line, don't get any yards after the catch, then it's useless. He was kind of doing that. He finally got behind the defense. I still have concerns, by the way. I don't want to say finishing plays because I'll get in trouble, but seems like he just wants to run out of bounds.
That was
seems like he had opportunity for more yards.
That was a rookie mistake.
I thought both times he got behind the defense, he was ill prepared after the catch to do something with it. He was just content to sort of drift out of bounds and I'll take my 30 yards. Well, you might be able to turn that into 45 or 50
and a touchdown.
Yeah. So
and by the way, they didn't get any points on either one of those drives, right?
Well, but
maybe they got three on the second one.
But that's something where I'd say that'll come hopefully with time and reps and experience and more of those catches. But I was glad to see him get off the line and beat people.
A little bit out of Boyce, starting to see a little bit out of him.
I think he's going to be a rookie receiver.
Yeah.
He's kind of quiet. He'll have a couple flashes. But I'm not expecting much from Boyce this year. It's
Dobson
and Tompkins.
Dobson, he had the one play, negative play where
with Dobson personally.
It looked to me like it was all on Brady, the interception, where
it was all on Dobson.
Well, no, then after I looked at it again,
right,
I didn't see him on the line of scrimmage. At first, I just thought Brady led him too far, but
he got held up. Shoulder.
You know, then I thought maybe he also rounded out his cut. And Brady threw it where he should have been if he had made a sharper cut. I didn't know.
Oh, I don't think
at
that.
At first,
he just got knocked off his route.
At first, I just thought it was a bad throw by Brady.
Andy made a good comment when we were watching it. Unfortunately, we weren't on TV when we said it. But
it always happens.
You made the comment of
by the pick, die by the pick.
You live by the pick, you die by the pick. That's you're looking
to
rub off defenders
on
those slants in traffic. And unfortunately, he ended up getting rubbed off.
Right.
And that caused the interception.
Learning experience. So that's a good learning experience right there. That's a good teachable moment in the preseason.
Yeah.
Better in the preseason than later.
I was excited to see Tompkins make some plays, though, and getting open consistently. He actually got open a third time, too deep, and made the catch on the sideline, but the throw was too far out of bounds by Mallett. right. on a play right. On another deep fade.
And so, he made a good catch, but
yeah,
it was
I thought he had a nice night.
Any word on Wilfork, why he didn't play?
Because he played other players.
And how do you think the D-line held up early without him?
Good.
Yeah, pretty good.
I thought the defensive line was pretty solid.
Depth is an issue, but if they stay healthy, the defensive line is fine.
Yeah.
Kelly I like, Wilfork I like, and I think Jones is ready for what we're hoping he's ready for. Ninkovich we have faith in. No depth. I'm concerned about the depth, but especially with Grissom going on IR. But yeah. the front line
defense. That was tough.
What a comment that
is. Oh, certainly. They don't have any depth.
No, but and also I felt bad because he was a guy who was, you know, an undrafted guy.
Coming on.
Kind of like Kyle Love a few years ago where he surprisingly made huge leaps in a short period of time. Looked like he was
injured, late start
but
to camp.
Do
he's
we,
on the
but yeah. we look at the other guy as being better than him because he played?
Who's the other guy? Joe Valano? I don't know.
I mean, Grissom didn't play. Valano did. When the starters were out there.
No, I know. I hadn't really seen much of Valano throughout camp that made me think, oh, this guy has a chance.
All I know about Joe Valano is some guy on who listens to this show loves him and had him penciled in as a starter.
He was right.
Let's move from the game to the cuts and the lists and all that stuff. Anything surprise you with that?
The Grissom Zusevic's IR is disappointing. I had both of them on my roster.
Grissom, we saw get hurt.
Right.
So I was kind of worried that, and he looked pretty bad. As soon as he got up, they walked him to the locker room. Zusevic, I never saw get hurt. So I don't know what that is. I saw him in the locker room yesterday. No indication of anything wrong with him, so I don't know what could have been the reason for it.
Well, he had been hurt, don't forget, throughout camp, and then he came back and he played in the game, and he played a lot in the game. Matter of fact, he played some tackle and guard. He was moving around the offensive line. I thought that he was, I don't want to say lock, but he was pretty close to a lock as that eighth offensive lineman because they talk about depth on the defensive line. They don't have a lot of depth on the offensive line either. They have seven absolute locks, you know, with Cannon and Svitek, you know, being those next two guys. Cannon's been hurt.
Yeah.
Conley just getting back, so you don't know where he stands.
Right.
So you might need to keep an extra guy or two than you really want to. They've almost always kept nine. I was already at eight, and Zuzu Petals was my eighth.
Yeah.
So
I think
a guy like Josh Klein
has a good chance.
Somebody for a couple weeks.
Klein is a guy I have identified because I've seen him play center and guard, and I don't know if the other guys have all done that. McDonald probably has, and I just haven't really noticed it as much. But one of those guys has a really good opportunity to make the opening day roster.
Armin Armstead, reserve NFI list. Now, is that the same rules as a PUP?
Yep, basically.
Mm-hmm. Basically. What's the difference?
Well, the NFI difference is they don't have to pay him. I don't know exactly how they decide that, but they are not obligated to pay him. His contract can be told.
Okay.
Now, whether they will or not.
So he can't come back until after week six?
Correct.
He can't start practicing until after week six.
Right.
Same as PUP in terms of football.
Come back. He's never here.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, that's not true. He was out there yesterday at practice with the rehab group, standing around watching them rehab. He wasn't really taking part. But he
so
was
that would
at
be
least
the second time that we've
at least out there
been aware of him anyway
in camp. Yes,
right.
And I did want to clear up.
Rob
Gronkowski
was among those guys.
Armstead did not have an infection in the spring, by all that we know. He was out there for spring workouts. I talked to him. He did media. He was excited.
Yeah.
I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I had him as the 21st best player on the team.
So it was between
I am sorry.
And the start of camp.
Yeah, and Eric, you just brought up Gronk. Why don't you say what he was doing?
After stretching. When they break up into the individual and position drills, a few guys, Jermaine Cunningham, who came back to practice, Dennard, and a few of the guys who've been on lists went down to that bottom field where the Revs usually practice. And Gronk had those big puffy white receiver gloves that he wears and was carrying a football in his right arm.
Well, that's great news.
And was doing
his left one is the one that's
his left
injured.
One is the one that was injured, not the right one. But he was doing footwork drills. For, you know, 15, 20 minutes, which is basically all that they were doing. A few sprints, some footwork drills.
How do you look?
Okay.
Stiff, loose.
And this was down on the lower field?
This was down on the lower field while the
with
team,
all the rehab guys.
Yeah, and by that, I mean the two guys I mentioned, Dennard
and
Cunningham.
And those guys were in uniform?
Dennard and Cunningham were in uniform. Okay. Gronk was in shorts and a T-shirt. Mark Harrison, who's also on NFI, shorts and T-shirt. There might have been another guy there, too.
Justin Francis?
All right.
Sorry. Anyway, they were. It was just that handful of them, and they were doing just what I mentioned. And Armstead was standing there watching them.
You know, I don't know if it's a step physically for Gronk, because I'm sure he's been doing some of this stuff. But for whatever reason, they decided to do it in front of the media yesterday.
That's what I want. The Fred Kirsch take. Why Fred did they Kirsch? Do it in front of the media yesterday, Fred?
You know, I think. That's the step that he's at. That's the, you know, and I don't think it's anything nefarious, like, oh, we want teams to question whether he's going to be back. I think the step in his rehab right now is that's what he's supposed to be doing.
I mean, we'll
so
know,
you think
we'll
he was doing
week,
something yesterday that he wasn't doing before?
Yes. Oh, that's why I'm, yes, I do. I think this is the next step.
I don't really either. I think he's been doing that behind closed doors, and he just did it in front of open doors.
Based on, I mean, he's clearly, when he comes out to practice every day, when he was coming out, he was clearly just finished doing something because he's always been with a full lather.
But I think there's certain steps, you know, where now, okay, now you do it out here. I think
it's
how
what
they
you
do
debunked.
It.
I think it's just to make other teams think, is he coming back week one? Is he coming back week two? Is he coming back week three? Whatever. I think he's getting it in the mindset of the teams.
I will say
that,
it certainly
that gets,
looks
that
like,
begs the issue then, what is the day by which they have to declare him on or off PUP?
Saturday, 6 p.m.
Saturday.
This Saturday at 6 p.m.
Yeah. Same as the cuts. Everything's down to 53. So he's either on the 53-man active roster
or
he's
look
not.
For during the reserve until around 10.
Or you're active. Yep. There's only two things you can be in the NFL, reserve or active. Active
correct.
Or reserve. Thanks, Bill.
So that'll be a big day for Rob Gronkowski.
And I think that it's certainly pointing toward that he is not going to be on PUP.
Really?
That's what it sounds like.
Well, after yesterday, yeah. I mean, that looks more and more like he's in the position to do things.
And the whispers. There's all these people writing sort of... like they have knowledge, but
Karen,
not really.
And
have
Karen
knowledge.
Has been so ahead Karen. Of the curve on this. Karen Garigian from the Boston Herald has been ahead of the curve on this particular injury all
reporter.
Along. I think that she's probably talking to somebody in the Gronkowski family, whether it's Rob or maybe the dad. I don't know, but she seems to have accurate information ahead of everybody else, and she has going back to April.
And
when
what
this
is she saying now?
That the possibility of him being ready for week three.
And if that happens, Eric, you'll be up in arms?
Well, I'll be nervous. I'll say that. I'm not going to be up in arms because
I'd like
to see him on
too.
The field, but I'm going
to
be very nervous.
You have to reserve judgment to see what he looks like when he's on the field. If he's like running around and he looks great, then what would you be up in arms for?
Yeah.
Why not even Eric would be up in arms.
Well, why would you be more nervous in week three than week six? Aren't you going to be nervous
no
matter
what? No, I'm going to be nervous any time he comes back out.
Because we have no idea. Yeah. As you would say, we just don't know
what
his health situation is.
That's what I said. Like, everybody's like, you know, should they put him, what do you think? Should they put him on PUP? I have no idea.
My level of concern will be higher in week three than it would have been a few weeks later or a month later.
See, mine will be the same because I have no idea.
But don't you think they're going to put him out when he's ready?
No. Based on last year,
we already have evidence of them rushing him back.
But, yes.
And this is a more serious injury than that was.
Right, and because of that, I don't think they'll do it again.
I'll reserve judgment. Yeah, I'll reserve judgment.
All right. So that kind of puts us up to date with the Patriots.
We need one more cut. Evan Landy was reportedly released today.
Yep.
We need one more transaction to get to 75 by tonight.
By tonight, yep. And some wonder if that's going to be number five.
It will not be number five. Nope. I can guarantee
I'd be
it. Who's going to play quarterback on
stunned.
Thursday?
Because now you're looking
give
at
the game to Mallett.
But what if he gets
hurt?
You got to have another quarterback right
now. Edelman.
Now we're really killing Quentin Sims' chances
he's
of ever
making,
having a career.
He's making the team.
Andy,
anyway,
Andy has a soft
he's making
spot
the team.
You think so
it's a moot point.
You think he's definitely making the team?
Yes.
I don't.
I do.
I don't think he's not making the team. I don't think it's definitely.
Right. Why are you so sure?
The tarp has moved
because
from
of
Fred to Paul.
Ben Violin?
I don't read or listen to anything he has to say.
It rhymes with colon.
So no.
What?
It rhymes with colon.
Volin.
You can say his name.
Yeah.
Volin rhymes with colon.
I don't pay
what's
any
that,
attention.
Eric? I missed that.
I don't pay any attention, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay, so why do you think it's
apparently he hates
why do you think it's why do you think it's a lock that Tim Tebow's on this team?
For all the reasons we've talked about all summer, the fact that
he can't throw.
The fact that I think they like him as an athlete. I don't think they brought him here to be a quarterback all along. I don't think that was the idea. I think the idea was to do different things with him, but not show us what those different things might be. And since we've been able to watch practice, they're not going to do those things while we're able to watch practice. I think from now on, they're going to do those things with him. And they'll use him in games when the opportunity arises. And also with what's happened all offseason. I think Robert coming out and saying what he said about the need for players like him and Matthew Slater and those types is more urgent now than ever before. From an image standpoint, I think it's just... I think his coming here was not an accident, and he's going to be on this team.
I hope you're right. I just can't figure it out. I can't figure out what he's going to do. He poses no threat unless he has the threat to pass. So if you put him on the field, he's just another lumbering fullback unless there's a threat to pass. And
if Eric is right, I'm going to take Andy's role as the irrational ranter that it's the worst signing I've ever saw. I mean, because I have been under the – I'm at least given the benefit of the doubt that they felt that Josh McDaniels drafted this guy and saw something and wanted to try to develop him as a quarterback. If that's not what they're trying to do, you cannot possibly tell me that a guy who's never done any of the things that people think that he should do
right.
is better than guys that are on the
exactly.
roster at those roles. So if that's what they brought him here for, and not only that, they've wasted the last 6 to 8 weeks not practicing any of it, that's the worst signing in the history of football.
See, that's why I agree with you, Paul, because there's nothing that we know that he can do that someone already on the roster doesn't do better. The only thing that would be an exception to that is that thing plus passing. And he hasn't been good at passing right now. And would you really take Tom Brady off the field to do that? You know,
now that's out. There's no way they're going to do that.
No, you know? I wouldn't do that.
See, you line them up
Eric
back there.
Eric is proposing some different sort of role.
You have some kind of trick play. And
well, who's to say it's a trick play? Just an H-back. I mean, you could just throw him a pass, get him the ball in the flat, and say he's a power runner that can now get me 10 more yards.
Yeah, and now I'm saying, is he really better than Devlin, or is he really better than Hooman at that?
No.
Now, the
and
one
I don't,
thing I don't
did,
think the
he may
is
end
false.
Up, but he isn't.
The one thing without practicing.
The one thing we did see him have some success with is what he's had success with before, which is running that read option type of play.
Right, but that you can't do without taking Brady out of the mix.
Well, but even then,
he's also had limited success doing it.
Right, he had over half of a game to do that in Philadelphia after Mallett got knocked out. And after that first drive, he didn't do anything.
And he had a whole half of a game against Tampa Bay and did nothing.
Right.
No points.
Right.
Well, but that they didn't really let him do. The read option and stuff.
Right. See, that's why I didn't include that game because he wasn't running.
He still
that
was
offense.
Running around. I mean, the only place that we.
Yeah, but that's just because that's what happens every time he takes the
ball. That's the only place that they moved the ball at all was him just running around
right.
with his
broken
head.
Plays,
chicken
though.
With his head cut off.
I mean, if you're a play by play, you can literally say Tebow drops back, broken play, runs around, and just press, you know, cut and paste that for
yeah,
every
we talked
time.
About
he
Mallett.
Looks good.
Loop it.
We talked about
just
Mallett,
keep going.
You know, in that if he had
hand
a chance
to
play,
one.
He'd get better. He'd improve. Well, this is an example of a guy who hasn't improved.
Oh, he got
with
better.
A chance to play.
He had -1 yards 2 weeks ago and zero this week.
All right.
He actually used that on TV, you know.
Webradio at Patriots.com.
Steve
it's the email
Buckley
address,
up
855-PATS-500. We do want to talk about the Jets eventually. I can't not talk about what's going on in New Jersey. It's absolutely comical.
It's amazing.
I love it. Even the governor of New Jersey's involved now, beating up on some poor little urine stream reporter. Who, by the way, Manish Mehta, we make fun of him here. He does a good job. I think in terms of getting info, and he's one of the better guys that cover the Jets. Yes? No?
I don't know.
And
I mean, I see him on Twitter and stuff. So.
I don't follow all the Jets beat writers.
Well,
but I know he's not very well liked.
You know, and he isn't. All I know is that he gets good info, and now he's involved in being made fun of by friends of Rex.
Well, for someone who supposedly has presidential aspirations, that's just idiotic to get involved in something like that. Go on sports radio and call a beat reporter an idiot, and like because you got to defend your fat guy friend, like.
Yeah.
I will never vote for him. I don't. Is he a Republican or is he a?
He is.
I will never vote for him.
He seemed,
you can. If Obama ran against him, I'd vote for Obama because this
guy's
more of an idiot than Obama.
He seemed kind. It seemed kind
he
of
switched
a.
Parties.
He switched. Oh, I can't stand those people either.
He seems kind of a bully, Christy.
Yeah,
doing that.
Is that
you
what
know?
He does?
What
I can appreciate that.
So, you know, that's. We'll talk about that later. So let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, where the most interesting Patriots fan in the world is waiting. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I just hope Amendola doesn't get injured this season, because I'm not sure how the offense is going to look without him, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a concern.
Yeah,
especially until Gronk gets back.
And we should add, I don't remember if Eric mentioned that, but he was out back out at practice yesterday, and
it was just rest for 4 or 5 days last week.
I know that.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm being sarcastic. I don't buy that it's just rest. He had an injury.
No, there's no question he had something. Just don't know what.
And I'm totally 100% with you because He is the only known commodity right now. He has looked good from the spring right on with Brady. I have faith that if he's healthy, he's going to catch his 6 or 8 a game, and that'll be good. But if he's gone, I don't know.
Yeah, I also think, especially right, that the sort of shorter passes would have maybe relieved a little bit of pressure. Maybe they wouldn't have rushed so much. I think we just lacked someone who was reliable to, you know, for Brady to take a couple of steps and drop it off straight away. To keep the defense honest. So I think that probably played into Troy's hand as well.
Yeah, why can't, at this point, Edelman fill that role? Why isn't he a guy that can be depended on like that?
He is what he is at this point.
I think they went with the other guys, and Andy was calling for it pregame, because they know what Edelman did. Edelman was out there. He was out there.
Yeah, I don't
think it changed the
intention wasn't
the
to scheme and win that game, and we're going to beat the pass rush with throws to Edelman.
Right, unlike the Lions.
We know what Edelman is, and I was happy to see it. I didn't want to see Edelman catch 10 or 12 balls. I learned nothing from that. I know that he can do that on occasion in the regular season. He's going to get hurt. He's a punt returner. He's a backup. He is what he is. I'm glad they went more with Tompkins and Dobson and a little bit more of that to see what those guys are and see how they would fare. And, you know, that slant, that wasn't good. You know, getting rid of the ball quickly on a slant that ends up in a pick is not good. So, you know, that's a learning experience. So I'm kind of glad Edelman wasn't a bigger part the other night.
Yeah, and I do think the Tompkins, I thought he sort of gave us a sort of a medium-range pass that I haven't really seen too much. So that was sort of interesting, that sort of adds a different area that Tom will be throwing into, that sort of, again, keeps the safeties a bit more honest, and hopefully will, when Gronk comes back and Amendola's playing, will leave a little bit more room for them to be effective and stuff like that. So it wasn't all negative, I don't think.
The tone of James's conversation is I'm kind of worried how the season's going to go. You know, when this guy is doing this, and when this guy is doing this, and if we can get this guy, well, I get the feeling they're not going to all line up. You know, we have Vereen, who's injury plagued. You know, are we ever going to see Vereen at his best out of the backfield, Gronk at his best at tight end, Amendola healthy at his best in the slot, Tompkins at his best on the outside?
I don't know.
I'm worried about one and four in your thing. I'm worried about Vereen and Tompkins.
The other thing I'm worried about is that, I think you touched on it earlier, Andy, is that, you know, I think we're still built to beat up on bad teams and to fall into this false sense of we're going to put, you know, 40 points up against the Ravens, and it doesn't happen. So I am a little bit worried about it. It'd be interesting to see I don't know what running backs you guys have currently being cut, but that's certainly going to be an interesting thing come Saturday. So it's going to, one more thing I would like to touch on. I thought I love Paul and Andy on the broadcast, but I think the production needs to be stepped up a little bit. That Bob's Discount Furniture sticker looked pretty poor, and they seem to be really zooming in on you this week as opposed to having the wider shot.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
We're just the talent.
Yeah, we're one more shot at that this season.
Big one this week.
Can't you put them on the side? Can't you put them on the side of the field? Because what I would have liked to have done is actually seen what Brady was doing after all of those picks and what was actually happening on the sideline, if Phil was tearing people's heads off.
Well, that's supposed to be Matt Chatham's job. Matt Chatham is on the sideline, so.
Yeah, I didn't really see any of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, Fred.
Okay.
In words, 21-1 is still a good season.
That's true. All right. Thanks, James.
Yep. All right, bye.
Thanks, James.
Yeah, as James brought up, this is the last preseason game in the last Kraft Sports production broadcast. You guys will be involved again. Now, I did get my wrist slapped last week for streaming out the game live. I got a strongly worded email from the league saying, you know, even though it's our broadcast and our preseason game, you know, streaming the game live is frowned upon in this establishment.
Does that mean you're not doing it this week?
No, we won't be doing it.
So that was your plan, is just to hope that you didn't hear anything about
right.
it? And your fallback was, production.
Honestly, so I was told by people here that, it's fine.
Oh,
I kind of went with that knowing
that it wasn't really fine.
Probably too good to be true, but.
I wasn't throwing you under the bus.
Yeah,
I was told by
some higher ups that, you can do that. And so I did it.
Now you can't do it anymore.
Now you can't.
So
that's unfortunate. So our global listeners won't be able to see us.
Our global listeners, well, there's always that, you know, those. Bootleg.
Oh, and you give those out on the blog.
I'll try.
And then this week, for the first time, Andy, when they do rerun it on NFL Network, it'll be our feed because we're the home team.
Maybe.
No, it will be.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe?
I asked somebody to look into that for me, and they contacted NFL Network, and the response they got was, yes, generally we use the home feed unless there's something wrong with the home feed. And I don't know if we'd be considered something wrong with the home feed.
No, I think there would be if something happened.
So,
but every game that I've seen, and I unfortunately was subjected to more preseason football this weekend than I've probably watched in my entire life, every game that I saw highlights of on NFL Network was the home team.
I'm hoping. That'd be big for us. Go global.
All right, so you may not be able to see it live if you're out of the region, but you can definitely see it on demand after the fact, if you have NFL Network. If you don't have NFL Network, then you're out of
luck. And I'm not even saying definitely on that. Yeah. But
all right, let's go to one more call, then we'll take a break. Craig's in Chicago. Hey, Craig.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, Craig.
It's our new friend, Craig.
Craig was down at practice. We met Craig last week.
Craig's gone.
Oh,
hey.
Now we skate him off.
What's up? What do you got?
No, I don't have anything right now. I get my opinions, but, you know, no inside stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, give us your...
It's too early, guys.
Oh, okay. Well, just give us your opinions, then. What are you feeling? You mad, like
okay,
Craig?
You got touched on a lot of things. I'm going to go over that Detroit thing real quick. Despite the turnovers, just put the turnovers aside, I think when they played Detroit goes into that game plan versus the Patriots, which I think go into the game team plan. And whenever that happens, it seems like the team that game plans always wins, because it's hard when you're team planning, because you're basically just putting guys in different roles to see how they perform versus a team that, you know that you're coming and they're game planning to win the game. I think the Patriots' emphasis is not necessarily to win the game. I think it's the emphasis to evaluate guys.
I sort of agree with that and would love to agree with that, except that doesn't explain the three fumbles. Those are just football.
It doesn't explain Calvin Johnson not playing either.
Right, I'm saying putting that aside, the fumble, if you just look at the game itself, you can tell that Detroit, whenever New England comes into town, I think this started happening when New England beat them that Thanksgiving game and embarrassed them. I think ever since then, when New England comes into Detroit, their emphasis is to game plan and beat New England.
Could be.
In some respects, I agree, Craig, but honestly, I think it's a matchup thing. I think that those guys, the Patriots offense has trouble with teams that are very, very fast up front. They've always have been. Whether it's the Giants or the Lions, and it takes them a little bit of time in a game to start to figure out what's going on.
Oh, I agree.
You know, and because the Lions can't be that good. They stink. They were 5-11 last year. You know, so if they were that good, they wouldn't be losing.
But hold
every
on a
year.
Second.
I think Detroit gets up for New England.
Yeah, I think the game plan thing that Craig is talking about is relevant. Not because I think Detroit is game planning, but I wholeheartedly agree that the Patriots aren't doing a lot of game planning. And when that happens and the other team has comparable talent, the Patriots are in trouble.
Exactly.
Right.
But I don't think the Lions went out of their way to game plan.
It's less of a team.
It's what you just talked about, Fred.
It's a man-on-man thing.
Yeah, and I don't think Detroit, by the way, is anywhere near as bad as you think they are. I don't think this is an embarrassing loss for the Patriots because of Detroit. 2 years ago when the Patriots went there and got killed, Detroit won 10 games and went to the playoffs for the first time in forever.
Right.
They're not that bad. They had a terrible season last year, but in terms of talent, man for man, they're not a terrible team.
They're not. Exactly. I said when you add all those things together and you watch that game, you can understand. I mean, putting the fumbles aside.
Right.
But if you just take it at face value, you can kind of understand how Detroit came out on top like that.
Oh, yeah. I think they're a terrible team with great talent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I've gone through the same thing coaching, you know, minor league football. You know, you go into the preseason games, you try to tell players, you know, we want to see everybody, we want to evaluate guys. But the players, they want to win. And it's sometimes you get into, I won't say an argument, but a disagreement because, you know, players want certain guys to stay in, but you can't. You got to, I need to see this guy. I need to see how he performs under pressure or in this particular role. You know, so it's hard. It's a balancing act. It's really hard, but in the long run, it benefits the team when you can evaluate players rather than trying to go in and just win the game.
Absolutely. Right. And I think we hit the nail on the head. When neither team is game planning, the team with the more pure athletes has the advantage.
And
exactly.
I would also
exactly.
say, I mean, Mayo didn't play, really.
Mayo didn't,
Wilfork
didn't
play.
Didn't play.
So, I mean, you know, Calvin Johnson didn't play for them either. But, you know, it wasn't even a matchup of all the talents that would have been involved with
right.
both sides.
Right.
Amendola.
All right, Craig, thanks for calling in.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Have a good one. Craig from Chicago. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We got a lot of emails to get to here on PFW in Progress.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. With power comes responsibility. And NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Hungry.
Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's a... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Poor kid, scarred for life because of Andy.
Because of me. I didn't ask him if he was hung.
And you let me finish my sentence.
You clearly were befuddled, too. Like, you were taken aback.
I don't want to say anything inappropriate in front of the kid and his parents.
Ben, are you hung? Ben, are you hung?
Taking
Ben,
out of
context. Are you hung? No, you said Ben, are you hung?
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Cleveland Campbelltown.
855-PATS-500 is the...
North American toll-free line.
Yeah, and you might as well all use it. On patriots.com is the international 800 toll-free numbers, so you can check that out when you have a chance. Write it down.
Now, do those all spell something? Or
no.
No. I bet you they do if we get our creative fans working on it.
About the preseason game not being streamed, Brian writes in, that's okay. I'll make sure to post a link to the free streaming websites I frequent, which are located outside the U.S., so not subject to the NFL's rules, in Kirsch words and PBGS. So he'll let people know in both those.
Good.
So. What?
I don't know. I'm not real comfortable with this.
Well, I mean, if anything, we're doing a service to the NFL so they can out these guys and shut them down.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. You know? In the meantime, people can watch.
Right.
Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Dan. He says, normally, I'd be concerned about the team's performance in the third preseason game, but as the days go by, it looks more and more like the Patriots will have two extra preseason games to figure it out this year. I don't know what that means.
The Bills and the Jets.
Oh, I see. I'm curious. I'm curious what you guys thought of Jamie Collins. The linebacking core hasn't looked much better than it has in years past, and it appeared evident in Detroit that in spite of decent play from the line. Weren't they using Collins in some different roles in Detroit? Did they move him inside a little bit?
Not really.
I thought they did.
I thought he was in for Mayo.
He was. He was playing weak side linebacker.
Okay.
And I agree with that as not a major thing, but a minor concern. I thought that, again, you see a guy like Bush causing some problems. And Andy chuckling at upon hearing the name Bush.
Tackling was an issue.
But I also thought they had guys running free. Even some plays that they actually did a pretty good job of containing him. And not there were some long yarded situations that he caught the ball with more space than I would like on a situation like that. That's a guy that can make people miss in the open field. And he had some occasions. Obviously, the first one he ran right away from Mayo. Mayo took a bad angle.
Unacceptable. Man coverage on a screen pass. Unacceptable.
And Adrian Wilson, who. You know, we were told, you know, was dogging Reggie Bush in this game, you know, was nowhere to be found. I thought That's a concern for me. With a guy like Spiller, the only way that Buffalo, you know, obviously we're getting ahead of ourselves, but the only way Buffalo is going to be able to be competitive on week one is if
Spiller
CJ
has
Spiller
a game.
Just has some, but not even just a game.
Right.
I'm not talking about 24 carries for 120 yards. He's going to have to break some big plays. And the big play like Reggie Bush turned in the first series, Spiller's going to have one or two of those because they're not going to be able to put together drives with an undrafted rookie quarterback playing. They're not going to be able to, you know, Bill's whole thing, you know, we're going to dare him to complete 10 in a row. That's actually sound in the opener because that's not going to happen. So Spiller's going to have to come up with big plays. And unfortunately, I thought there was too much green around Reggie Bush when he caught the ball. And he had, what did he have, like 5 for 110 yards? I know he had a lot of that on one play, but
right.
There were others that he had some openings for, too.
Fred, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Little change of topic here. We were talking about the offensive line getting dominated earlier and what that means, whatever. But if I were just to describe a team for you, then told you that of its top 10 cap numbers, so highest paid players, two were guards, one was a right tackle, one was a defensive tackle, and one was a place kicker. Would that be good?
That's the Patriots.
Yeah, I know. But is it good?
Well, I guess
it's all relative.
What is that? What are those cap
numbers? And a nose tackle.
Yeah. Is that?
And I heard somebody say the other day, oh, the Patriots really haven't invested a lot in terms of the draft in their offensive line. Really? Solder's a first-round pick. Mankins is a first-round pick. Vollmer's a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Right,
you're absolutely right. That's
you know?
That's three of your five starters
right.
Were you use the high resources
right.
For.
I don't know. And then to compound that by saying we can't run the ball when we want to against decent defensive lines. Well, three of my highest paid guys are offensive linemen. Why are we not running?
Right.
That's just and Conley's is one of those. Conley's actually, but he's an X factor right now because he only played part of the time the other night. But I just. When we talk about a team that needs playmakers, they don't have playmakers. Well, maybe that's because you didn't invest in playmakers.
No. And a
team that has $55 million in its left guard, should they have a $3.5 million right guard? Like, it just seems like guard is a position you can always get, according to Paul, quoting Bill Belichick. And if you invest in one, I mean, how much are you
it's
investing?
Okay for you to quote Bill Belichick, you know, the redo at the receiver position.
Yeah, well, I'm just quoting him, but... It makes sense. You're looking for playmakers. You didn't invest in playmakers.
Well, I would be curious, and something I'll be interested in over the next 3 years now. You have these rookie receivers, and I have to think one of them 3 years from now is going to be worth investing in. And will they?
You'd hope.
Right? Well, I'm looking at the positive side. I'm looking at the bright side. Okay.
Now, I can tell you how this plays out. Tompkins is the good one. They go to him early because he's an undrafted guy making absolutely nothing, never gotten any money, and they're going to get a great five-year deal, and he's going to be 7 years into his career before he has to make any money.
And you're going to think of him as being overpaid by year four, though. Like he's not going to be worth the money.
Oh, I'm not necessarily saying that. I think you're going to get 7 years out of him and then kick him to the curb.
This is the business we've
chosen. I don't know how many years.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
How many years his contract was for? What he signed? I mean, did he sign a 3-year deal?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah,
no, I'm just. But it doesn't matter. He can't go anywhere. You know, he'll be a exclusive rights free agent.
No,
that.
I know. That's
and
why
he's
I'm
the type of guy that when you go to him and offer him some money, you know, we'll give you a $4.5 million bonus and decent salaries for the next 5 years. He goes,
but if he takes
that's
that,
a lot of freaking money.
But if he takes that, I'm not going to feel sorry for him.
No, I won't feel sorry for him. I'm just going to say the Patriots don't have to invest any money in him.
No, I'm
well,
just looking
what's
at
wrong
it.
With that?
Nothing.
No, nothing. Nothing.
No one's criticizing anything.
That's what I just said.
Don't
I'm
get
not,
your dander up. Don't get your claws out.
Sometimes,
don't go all lions on me.
Sometimes we just...
I sense a Globe story coming.
No, sometimes we just analyze the situation as we see it. And my point being is in 3 years, you have three rookie receivers right now. In 3 years, maybe one of those guys is worth investing, you know, $5 and $50 in.
Oh, they won't.
Will they do it?
Nope. No chance.
I kind of agree with Andy. I don't think that they look at the receiver position as the position they want to do that in.
How are you going to afford guards if you're going to pay receivers?
And when you don't have playmakers, and then if you don't want to pay for one, don't complain about a lack of playmakers.
Steven Westford writes, and guys...
Well, I don't know that they've actually complained that they have a lack of playmakers.
Well, you hear them
we
talking
complain
about,
for them.
But we hear them talking, you know, Tom has talked a little bit about, you know, how much better we are on the outside. I mean, he's not saying we need a playmaker. But he's talking about outside receivers. We don't have the ability to do things that other teams do.
Sure.
Stephen Westford says, guys, and Eric, still not tired of that one. I'm amazed, as an eight-year listener, that you gentlemen and Eric can manage to reinvent yourselves yet remain completely the same. In last Tuesday's show alone, Andy surprised everyone by using the argument against rape apologists. I didn't even know Andy knew that argument existed. Moments later, Fred, the director of new media, describes Quora as a website where you can go and type things in and get answers. That's insightful, Fred. That's exactly what it freaking is. Minutes later, we get a Sack.
I love the freaking.
We get a Sack Zudfeld rant, an asinine theory about why Amendola is actually hurt a lot, the daily dose of Belichick vitriol from Eric, and Paul describing Bill's media approach as peeing on my head and telling me it's raining. The more you guys change, the more you stay the same. Keep it up.
Well, that's exactly what it freaking is.
I love the freaking.
That's the first and only time I've ever heard of it. Quora.
Quora.
Who uses Quora?
Heard of it.
Yeah.
Is it geeky?
That doesn't mean it's not big.
Yes, it does. It's kind
of
geeky.
No, I've never heard of it.
I've heard of Bing. I've heard of Yahoo. I've heard of Google.
But it's pretentious because you have to have an account to use it. I mean, you don't have to pay, but you have to establish an account with them in order to get answers.
You know what?
But it's just
is?
A search engine.
No, it's not passwords. A search engine. It's more of a wiki answers type thing where you type in questions and the community answers it or people get involved. Yeah.
See, I don't like those.
I don't either.
I don't know if the people know the right answer.
Right.
I go with it because one guy told me something and he's really an idiot.
Well,
you know,
some pompous ass like Eric who thinks his opinion's the right one.
Now, I know we're going to get somebody who works for Quora that's going to take offense at the description. But
now, who owns it? Is it its own
entity? I don't know. I have no idea. James in Brisbane, I'm sure you guys will cover the Detroit game without any prompting.
Already did.
Unless someone else gets arrested in the next couple of hours. So I was hoping for an update on Dane Fletcher. It seemed like he was primed for a backup role before his knee injury last year. How is he looking? Will he make the team? And if so, what can we expect from him? I know he's not a star, but I've enjoyed watching him when he's on the field. And by the way, loving PPGS. Good call on the host, and the Muppets look much more comfortable on TV this week.
I think Dane Fletcher is primed for a backup role.
I agree.
Now, the host thing, that's another Paul Kingmaker move, right? Didn't you suggest, Mark?
Why do you make fun of me?
Yeah, but this one worked out.
Well, I'm not making fun of you.
Well, I think that the Herald would say that Jeff Howe has worked out well for them.
Yeah, that's true. It's the Herald. They're not big on facts.
Yeah, so.
I think he's better than the other paper. In terms of facts,
Dane Fletcher.
Neither.
All right, then.
What do you think of Dane Fletcher?
He's primed for a good backup role. Special teams, backup linebacker, sub guy. Everybody, you know, Ninkovich, I heard the other day raving about how quickly he's come back, and he was surprised this offseason they were working out together and the quickness and the strength, and he was surprised at how well he's come back from that ACL. So it looks like he's ready to go in that role.
Bwabi from Squantum writes in, hey guys, rough night the other night. That was tough to watch, but I actually thought the defense looked pretty good, even without Will Fork. They were handed a short field over and over and did a good job of keeping them out of the end zone for the most part. I know the Lions didn't have Calvin and Reggie Bush made us look silly here and there, but wouldn't you say that the first team D had a plus performance overall?
Yes.
Yeah. They were good. I liked it. I'm very much intrigued by the Tommy Kelly addition to the Chandler Jones.
But I also think he covered all the bases there, too. He talked about the fact that Calvin Johnson wasn't there,
right.
And he talked about the fact that Reggie Bush provided some occasional problems.
But that you can balance out with they weren't scheming, they blah, blah, blah.
And I would say absolutely. You had no Will Fork at all, and you had a limited Mayo. I would say that was a plus performance for the defense.
That is not a role suited for him in any way. To come cold off the bench on third down.
Yeah, you don't think that's what they want to do, though.
I'm just saying there's some guys that you could do that with. There's some guys, I think, that are suited to a reserve role.
It would be the opposite.
I don't think Mayo is suited to a reserve. No, I'm not even talking pass, run. Yeah.
Where are those from?
Carol Hardy from PFW just brought down nachos, which Andy just grabs. And
you already ate a pizza. I'm trying to save your life.
They're his. You didn't know?
Oh, you ordered those?
No.
Oh.
No, you already ate a pizza, though. I'm trying to save
your
life.
I might
want to
have a nacho. You're an ass. Thank you.
They're nacho cheese.
Christian in Boston writes, and just wanted to ask you guys if you think Tompkins is an improvement over Lloyd. as an outside wide receiver. Judging,
hell yes.
I think he is.
Judging based off of what you've seen so far of him, do you think he'll be a better outside threat than Lloyd was for us last year? Everyone
yes.
says yes. I know you
he
guys.
He already has two more deep catches than Lloyd had last year.
I know you guys.
I know I'm exaggerating.
Meaning Paul, have been critical of him because of his low yards per catch in the first two preseason games. But given his recent breakout game, how do you see him impacting the O this season? Also, do you guys have you given up on Dobson and Boyce, seeing how they have yet to really have that breakout game like Tompkins did?
Okay, Andy's eating, so I'll answer. I believe that Tompkins will be a nice complementary piece. I think he has the ability to. And I wasn't critical of his yards per catch. I mean, it was what it was. It was low. But I thought that in the first game against Philadelphia, I thought he was asked to catch balls underneath that resulted in first downs. He caught four passes, and I think two of them went for first downs. That's good. And I thought the fact that he showed that he could run different routes, not just go routes, was good. Now, I'm more excited about what he did this week because he got deep a couple of times and was able to make catches for big plays. And that's what was, I think, sorely lacking on the outside last year. I think he can be better than Brandon Lloyd. Now, I don't think he's better than Brandon Lloyd right now, but I think he can be. And I'm not ready to give up on Boyce and Dobson. I am a little bit disappointed in both of them. Dobson in particular, because I don't really see, and I know that I've been a broken record on this, I don't see him get open much. He made a really tough catch down the seam last game that he double caught, and everybody's like, oh, what a catch. Absolutely. But again, I look at Andy and I say, can't he just get open?
Right.
Can't he just once just catch a ball with no one like within a yard of him?
Mm.
And maybe that's being a little bit nitpicky, but I haven't seen a lot of examples of him creating. He had a deep ball in the second half with Mallett that Mallett really aired out, and he was covered like a blanket down the sideline. I want to see my second-round receiver make some plays without having to fight off a defender to do it. I know he's 6'3 and strong and can make catches in traffic. I know I have that. You know how you were talking about Sudfeld breaking the tackle in the Tampa Bay game?
Right.
You know, like, I think that I know that Dobson can do that. I want to see him do something I haven't seen yet. Boyce, to me, is well behind the other two, but might have a chance to make a big play or two here or there.
Right.
Because I think he has exceptional
right.
speed.
He'll catch teams
Meanwhile,
napping.
Andy is halfway done with the order of nachos.
He'll catch teams napping. Edwin in Las Vegas writes in, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to all of the PFW Elite fans. Also, I've gone hard on Eric before, and everything that I hear from the boys is that he's not that bad after all in person.
Never heard that
yes, he had me blocked on Twitter, and I'd like to extend my sincere apologies. It would be nice if I got unblocked. Now on to the question.
He's not going to unblock you, Edwin. He's a little baby.
Yeah. There's been so much discussion about Gronk not being placed on PUP. Would you rather hold him off all 6 weeks or not place him on PUP and play it by ear based on possibly the team record or when he's cleared to play? Oh, by the way, I'm totally up for buying lunches on the condition that Eric unblocks me. So,
we'll never get that lunch.
There's no way that they should make the decision to activate Rob Gronkowski based on record. No way. They should let him play when he's ready, period. End of story. Whether that means putting him on PUP or not, it's really a medical decision. That's all it is.
Yeah, and
I agree.
Technically, the PUP thing can't have anything to do with record.
Right.
I mean, you could maybe say he's active, and I'm planning on sitting him out the first four games, and then you go 0-3 and say, ooh, season's slipping away. I need to activate him in the fourth game. I could see something like that happening, but PUP, you have to decide before the season.
All right, let's hit the phones. Melvin's in Tennessee on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all? My message would be based on last game, but really just going towards the future would be just, you know, this team really, to me, needs to learn how to set the tone when they're out there playing, you know? I don't want to look up this season. I know really based off of last season, you know, you're playing around with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Bills and the, you know, the Miami Dolphins. Teams like that you really should be able to handle. I know you're going to have a bad game every now and then, but I think it happened a little bit too often last year. So I just want to really see this team take a step up and, you know, play more consistent football throughout the season. With that being said, my flopper, and damn, since I always have one, I would imagine would be the what I thought would be the Bills. They shouldn't now, based on a little quarterback issue. But you know, we can make a, any quarterback look like Peyton Manning. So I really want them to see them go up there and handle the Bills like they're supposed to be handled. And they've had trouble tackling last game. Oh my goodness, that home game last year made me throw up. But that tackling C.J. Spiller, they've had trouble playing them probably the last, you know, numerous two or three times. You know, just go up there and set the tone on football games in the first quarter. Don't play around with teams, get down 21-0 or whatever the situation is going to be. But go up there and, you know, play New England Patriots football. Just don't go up there, you know, acting like a Jet.
No, you're not going to have to worry about that. With this guy playing quarterback, they could stumble all over themselves and still win the game.
I mean, I don't know. Is he that bad? I have no idea.
He's an undrafted rookie free agent. First starting in week one. Ever.
Kurt Warner was undrafted.
No, he didn't start his first game.
No.
There's a difference.
Kurt Warner was an experienced professional by the time he played.
That sit around for years, and like Tony Romo was an undrafted guy. But he sat around for a year learning under a great one.
Right.
And Drew Bledsoe.
True.
I mean,
by the way, did you guys see the story about C.J. Spiller?
Melvin.
Gets even worse for Buffalo. He's left the team until
this?
Sunday. Spiller, his step-grandfather, shot a couple of people.
Oh, my God.
Killed two people and shot two others before killing himself on Saturday. So he has gone home to be with his family until Sunday, Spiller. What an unbelievable week they've gone through. I know that's real life and not football, and that's different, but just, I mean, I think he'll be back, obviously, plenty of time to play against the Patriots, but just another thing that they're dealing with.
Everybody tries to copy the Patriots.
That's a great line. I know we'd probably get fired.
Not appropriate.
I know we'd probably get fired if anybody heard that line, but that's a great line.
Chris with a TIN. Gay Christian, what's up?
Sure, I didn't hear anything, but it sure was funny. it's amazing to me, Ian just brought up this thing about Spiller, and I know you guys are amazed, too, at how bad things are in this division with these other teams. I mean, you got that debacle in Jersey. I mean, you have the Bills at the quarterback position. Miami, I guess, is really the only legitimate.
Well, they lost their tight end. Yeah, but
and that's a huge injury for them, too.
And that was a massive blow.
It's not even just like, you know, okay, well, you lost Gronkowski, and that's a huge injury for the Patriots, too, but this is a young quarterback trying to make his way. What would be better for him than to have a reliable tight end to throw to? And
tight end, good tight end is a quarterback's best friend, they say.
Yep, that is amazing. Coming out of the Detroit game, you know, the lone positive I can take, like everybody else, is Tompkins, and I've been impressed with him. Not so much the plays, but like what he does pre-snap, and a couple of times I've seen him, like, pointing to guys and lining guys up, particularly, like, on the line. Like, there was one play Thursday, Sudfeld was, like, not that he was in the wrong spot, but he, like, wasn't lined up right, and he lined him up. I think that's kind of impressive for a rookie. I don't remember too many rookies doing stuff like that. I don't know if he does it that much, but the two or three times that I've seen him, I'm like, oh, I'm like, this kid's got a pretty good head. And conversely, on the flip side, who's the other safety next to McCourty?
Gregory.
And we're comfortable with him as us as our starting safety?
Based on what I've seen so far, I'm more comfortable with him than any of the others. I have not been impressed with Adrian Wilson at all. I have not been impressed with Tavon Wilson at all. And Daron Harmon's just a rookie, and when I have seen him, it hasn't been showing up positively.
Do you think Adrian Wilson makes the team?
I think it's 50-50. I think he's a good, legitimate surprise cut candidate. Come Saturday.
Well, I got to tell you, coupled with Leon Washington and the rumors of him potentially not making it, that's really disappointing to me.
Yeah, listen, let's not cut him yet, just because people think that there's a possibility, and put myself in that category.
Sure,
let's not write him out yet, Christian, because a lot can happen. And I think that some of the other things, you know, like even Gronk's PUP, the health of the overall health of the roster plays into this. Not just the health of the players, but, you know, how is Marcus Cannon? You know, how is Dan Conley? You know, how is Jake Ballard? Do they think, you know, they're comfortable with Ballard? How is Daniel Fells? There's a lot of different guys dealing with you know, Ross Idowling, dealing with different stages of injury, and Dennard would be another one. That's going to impact. They might have too many guys that are going to be hurt and not available in week one to keep right. Gronkowski off of PUP.
Right.
Well, okay.
You know, depend. You know, these things, and then at the same time, they might save a job for a guy like Adrian Wilson and Leon Washington because they're healthy and they can play. If Bolden, you know, does that, you know, add the need to have another running back around? I don't know. These are all just hypotheticals, but guys dealing with various nagging injuries, where are they in terms of their availability come
right.
week one?
Right. Are they worth?
How many of those guys can you cut with the intention of re-signing with the, you know, assurance that you're not going to lose them?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I guess there was someone reported already that Nico was already told not to go anywhere. You know, I don't know, you know, what that means, but I'm just, we know that they've done that many times in the past,
sure.
where they cut a guy and it doesn't necessarily mean the end.
Yeah, don't pack your bags.
Well, Deion Branch last year was an example. Yeah. I mean, they signed, like, what, week three, week four, they re-signed him?
Yep.
And then he was back and forth a couple of times even after that.
Yeah. So, I guess really this preseason game, the fourth one.
Andy is going to finish that whole thing of nachos, by the way, Christian.
Yeah.
Hey, fathead, share that. Share the nachos.
I offered it. They didn't want any.
I don't want any. Did you offer it to Fred? Fred said he might want a nacho.
I turned it down.
Unbelievable.
They didn't want any.
Where are
they
from?
Pizza.
CBS scene?
Toby Keith's. They make a good nacho.
Oh.
You know what they do?
Why did Carol bring them here?
I have no idea, but I don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I eat it. Right. Not the horse, what the gift is. But they make a good nacho because they do the thing where they use the cheese whiz somewhere in the middle. And then the real cheese on top, so you get different layers of types of cheese.
Well, that's the thing. You have to layer your cheese. You can't have just the cheese on top and have just, you know, dried nachos on the bottom.
But it's also generally better if it's a big pile of nachos, they put the liquid cheese inside, because if they put the hard cheese, it doesn't melt as well. So sometimes you get some unmelted cheese under there.
Yeah.
So I like it when they do this. They use the colored chips, too. I like that, although that causes issues with the color of my you-know-what.
Well, who cares what color it is?
All right.
All right, Christian. A little too much information there.
We should get into just a scheduling thing.
Well, just before we get into that, the game Thursday night, Stripper says that it will, according to NFL Network, it's going to be live on NFL Network. They have it listed.
Is that why the truck is here? They're just going to do the game?
Thursday, 7:30 p.m., NFL preseason game live, 2013 preseason game, New York Giants versus New England Patriots, and then it's repeated Saturday at 1.
With our broadcast or with their own?
I don't know.
Is this my big break?
So
either that or we're out.
Right, or this could be you're exposed, you know, you get exposed finally.
No, I think he means we're out. That's why the chairs aren't over there anymore.
Oh. You think they took it over?
Did they somehow make this a national game?
And then that's what I'm wondering.
I didn't know there was flex scheduling in the preseason.
Get your agent on the line. This is unacceptable.
Well, this could be a big development. Can we get No Socks on the...
taking dinner off my
Kevin,
table.
Let's get No Socks on the line here. See if we can straighten this thing out here.
But scheduling-wise, what I was going to say is there's no show on Thursday.
Correct.
There'll be a PPGS. So, therefore, we do need to kind of address in this show our opinions on the roster. Because it's Saturday, the cuts, you know. There's this large group. Washington, Bolden, Blunt you could include in there. Wilson, Beckett,
Cunningham. Right.
Of all these guys who are relatively name players.
They're either names or they're guys that are, you know, second-year players.
Well,
they're
not all going to be here.
Look, Beckett and Wilson are second-year players, second- and third-round draft picks. Rossi Dowling, third-year player,
right.
Second-round draft pick. High-resourced players.
Both you guys issued your 53-man rosters.
Yeah.
Based on what's happened so far, how much adjustment do you need to make?
Well, I have some issues because the defensive line and the offensive line, my depth guys got cut. I mean, got put on IR. But I don't know who I want to upgrade. Like... Okay, I need another offensive lineman. I don't want another offensive lineman. I don't like any of them. I actually think both those sides of the ball and their positions, you can get veteran guys. I think they could sign guys.
See,
you could see some Jag guard get signed the day after cuts from some other team or defensive line. You know, these guys that have had, you know, some guy who started 40 games in his career over 7 years.
Who was that obnoxious guy from the Giants last year that came in like he owned the place and he lasted one day? Remember the guy that was sauntered through the locker room like
he had split
the atom?
Chest out.
Yeah, I forget who it was.
Andy didn't like him. He wanted to fight him.
No, I remember because Fred and I had a conversation. That's why I looked at Fred. I forget the guy's name, though.
Yeah.
But my whole rant that I just went on about the overall health of the roster, that's an area. Maybe they open with 7 linemen opening day. If they're fairly confident that Cannon could play, knowing that Josh Klein or whoever other guy they were going to keep, they could probably re-sign. Or, as Andy said, they could go out and sign someone who gets cut as a backup interior lineman who's been around, you know, a Kevin Haslam type that was here, a Tyrone Green type that was here and now is on IR, from someone else who gets cut. He's been around the league 6 or 7 years, not really a front-line player, but Donald Thomas could come back.
Right.
And, you know, that type of player.
If you're an owner and you have a business like the Crafts do, let's say they have Rand Whitney, it's a box company in Worcester, and you cut a guy, can you give him a job there while he's waiting to be re-signed?
If you want to be like the Denver Broncos of the,
no,
90s.
But, I mean, can't you do that, right? Guy has a right to earn a
Why
living,
not?
Right?
Yeah, I think you could get in trouble for
really?
That stuff.
Okay.
But what if it's legit?
Oh,
you give him the going rate.
Then it's
of
not to bring him back
is.
To play football?
No, and then eventually you do need him back, and you bring him back.
Oh, yeah, I think that you could get in trouble. Oh. For incentivizing.
Didn't we have somebody working security here?
Oh, I don't know.
I believe we had an ex-player who was doing...
Yeah, an ex-player. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if you're
no, but what
playing,
if you
not bringing
black?
Him back, but you... So you
like
know,
Nico Koutavidis. His career could be over.
But you're giving him incentive
team
to stay.
Ops. You give him team ops. He's, you know, working security for 3 games.
Right.
2 special teamers get hurt, and you go, Nico, huh? You've been staying in shape?
Yeah, pay him 100 grand a game. You know,
no,
for security.
See, that's where. No, I'm saying you pay him your $8 an hour or whatever those
yeah,
guys get.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there might not be something specifically wrong with that, but there should be.
Doesn't pass the sniff test.
Right, there should be. Zuzevic was the guy that I had as my last lineman, Fred. I mentioned that earlier.
Oh.
And he's on IR. That's the only guy. I mean, all due respect to Corey Grissom, I never really saw him in practice. I didn't really know this whole.
Oh, he was a stout guy.
This whole,
I liked what I saw.
This whole run that he was on, he missed half of the camp practices that we saw.
Even why they liked him more, you proved it by getting him out there.
And yet they had another guy start over him when they had an
it's
opportunity.
Because they had
to
fish or cut bait with him. I have an answer for everything.
None of them make any sense.
No, but give me one name, Paul, who will not be here of that group of names. Will not be here come Saturday at 6 p.m.
Jermaine Cunningham.
Paul. I mean, Fred.
Can I only give one?
Okay, give me three.
Jake Beckett. Tavon Wilson.
I'll say Beckett.
You think both Wilsons are going to get cut? Your Wilson is going to get cut.
Adrian Wilson is my surprise cut.
But you've been saying forever you thought he was going to get cut.
I'll say Jake Beckett or Adrian Wilson.
I think he should get cut.
I think Cunningham sticks.
Sticks or stinks?
He sticks.
Well, I think Leon Washington's going to get cut.
I think he's got a chance to get cut.
See, I don't think so. I think that I know we haven't seen it yet in the preseason, but I think they know he's a pretty good kick returner. And they threw him that one pass along the sideline, a little swing pass. He caught it, made some yards. I don't think, you know, they called his number for a reason. I think they're going to keep him. I think
could
they're
be.
Keep him.
I mean,
think
these
if
are,
he makes
all
it,
these guys could make it. That's
yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. None of those guys, I don't think any of these guys are locks to be gone.
And there's the health issue.
I can make an argument
if
for
Bolden is on IR, which last we saw him, he was on street clothes on the sideline, which is an indication he's injured, even though we haven't really heard any injury issue.
Right.
Doesn't that seem like a Patriots move?
Bolden?
Yeah. Cut him. Just put him on IR.
Right. Plus, he's a relatively young back. I mean, he is a young back.
That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't do that with Leon Washington. You would do that with Brandon Bolden.
And the thing about Bolden is the few times that we've seen him, he's run hard. I mean, I like what I saw of him in the preseason.
Andy doesn't like Bolden. I like
you don't
him.
Like him?
I don't want to get into a fight with you. Who doesn't run hard?
Well, he hit the
I mean,
hole.
Which undrafted free agent doesn't
he
run
He hit
hard?
The hole quickly. And
you know, just dances around, doesn't want to get hit, doesn't look to make plays.
No. I thought he looked okay. Yeah.
He's living off one game.
I have a little concern with the Vereen situation. We talked about this in the PPGS on Thursday last week.
It's a good show, by the way. Thursday.
I'm a little concerned about his durability and, you know, just his overall, like, how much of a
Say
role
it. You think he's soft?
I do think he's soft. That, well, durability. I think he's,
but also, fumble wise, is that a sign
well,
of softness?
That fumble to me was a little bit troubling, too.
Amoeba like?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't as worried about Sudfeld's fumble as I am about Vereen's. And they were equally bad.
Very similar, I thought.
They were equally kinda bad. Vereen, to me, there's a difference between catching a ball down the seam and then taking a hit, and even though it wasn't right on the ball, as opposed to getting a handoff and then dancing into the line and losing the ball. I'm a little worried about Vereen, and therefore I'm wondering if they might need some insurance, and that's what saves Washington. I don't think they'll keep Washington just as a kick returner because I don't think it's that important.
But he's never just a kick returner.
Right.
He offers the insurance.
Yeah,
but whether that's the target or not
And does Bolden and offer a similar insurance?
I didn't think there was as much of a need.
Being out of the backfield threat?
No.
See,
not
I kind of do.
Not one that I really like.
See, I kind of do. And I don't even like him.
I think he can run screens, Andy. So I guess that's out of the backfield. But I don't think he can do the things that you do with Vereen.
Well, nobody can. I don't think Washington can. Washington's not lining up wide and beating guys into the end zone for these 34-yard touchdowns.
I think he could.
He certainly hasn't done it, at all, in a long time.
I think he could. I think he has in the past. Speaking of,
let me bring back LaDainian Tomlinson. He did it in the past too.
So why do you have to be such a moron?
Francis in Ottawa has some quick observations. He says, first of all, I have to say you guys are doing an awesome job with all the content you bring us, especially for people like me up here in Canada.
Eh?
First of all, I'm the only one that thinks Tompkins looks like Lloyd, not only his number, but his demeanor, the way he runs back to the huddle and his body control. Also, all this talk about Brady adjusting to new receivers and such, why haven't we seen Edelman excel, especially since he's been in the system for a few years now? On that, I'm not too worried about the Lions game. It's preseason, and like Fred says, we'll be fine.
But what haven't you seen from Edelman when he's been given an opportunity?
Incredelman.
I think he's been fine.
I think any time Edelman has played a prominent role in a game, he's produced.
His punt returning hasn't looked great this preseason.
No, his punt returning has been terrible.
None of the returning, period.
I'm wondering if he's been reading his clips.
Preseason has, special teams has sucked.
Yeah.
Scott O'Brien,
we haven't talked about that at all.
Because it's preseason and there's different guys. But, you know, we hoped that Leon Washington was going to be an injection of something in the kick return game. They're doing the same thing. A guy runs like 20 yards and gets around the 20. It's like human touchback, everybody. And the Edelman, who has been a proven, to me, impact punt returner, has sort of looked like just dancing around back there and not doing anything.
Did you see the one where Washington ran into
yeah.
He concussed a guy.
He kneed Kyle Arrington in the head.
Right. So
it has looked atrocious. They've given up returns. They've missed kicks. They've had bad punts. They've had bad punt returns, kick returns. Everything you can do poorly on special teams, they've done, essentially.
Yeah. Dan's in Virginia, and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Dan.
He's double dipping.
G'day, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
Okay, I got one comment. A couple of instances of listener and listener crime, and then some questions.
Nice. Okay.
The significance of the Detroit game is essentially as a saddle for Bill Belichick to ride this team for the rest of the season. He's going to key up the film. He's going to put on a pair of cowboy boots with a really nice, big, sharp pair of spurs on the back, and he's just going to give it to the team for the rest of the season. And that's all. I don't think there's anything too concerning about that game. With regards to James's comments earlier regarding the Pats just being a team that beats up on weak teams, last season they beat the Broncos and the Texans and came within a quote-unquote field goal of beating the Ravens. So they, you know, beat or almost beat the number one seeds out of all the other divisions and also came back against the 49ers. So I don't think they just beat up on weak teams. A couple of the fumbles from the Detroit game that James was concerned about the offense, I think were fixable, particularly Sudfeld's. On Kershwood's, Ryan from Orlando was asking for some therapy. Ryan, it's the preseason, and you live in Florida, the Sunshine State. There's your therapy.
Yeah, but it stinks.
The questions I have are, Bill seems to struggle with coaches that he's worked with. Coughlin, Mangini, McDaniels, Schwartz, he doesn't lose to them all the time, but he always seems to have trouble with them. Do you think there's anything to that, or is it just a particular, it's not anything about the coaches, it's more about the particular matchups of the personnel?
No, I think it could be something to do with the coaches.
Yeah, I think
so
too.
The knowledge.
And just how they got their team up for that game. And
Yeah, whatever it is, I think there is something there with the ex-coaches and the success or fight they have against Bill Belichick.
And it could be as simple as, in general, I think if you worked with Belichick or under Belichick, you're probably a game-plan coach. And Bill, I think he would prefer to go against guys that aren't game-plan guys. Mm-hmm. They're more guys that run their system. I think he's had more success against Pittsburgh over the years, as an example, than most of the other teams, most of the other good teams.
Fair enough. What was the deal with the tackling the other night? It was atrocious. Are they just not – I know they are limited in practice, but it just seemed that they couldn't hold on it, couldn't grab anybody, couldn't hold on anybody.
Well, plus they were overrunning people. I thought Mayo overran Bush on the screen. I thought Wilson overran. I think that was Bush, too.
This kid Bell had a big game.
Well, maybe it was Bell. But, Joy. Yeah.
Joy.
Overrunning. That, to me, is a sign of a little bit of a sign of uncertainty. that you're not sure the traditional inside hip, trust your speed to get there if you need to, that's a sign to me. You try to get you overrun it because you think you need to, and that opens you up to those cutbacks. That certainly would be something to watch for with Adrian Wilson. He's shot like a cannon because if he makes a move, I can't catch him. I know I've lost two steps, and I'm not the Adrian Wilson who could catch him. So I think that leads to some of those. It might have just been a bad night. I don't know why it all kind of came together, but it was. It, across the board, linebackers, defensive backs were terrible in their tackling.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the running game, how come Blunt wasn't played more? I mean, they were getting nowhere with Ridley and Vereen, so why not put the power guy out there and punch him back in the mouth?
It wasn't a matter of we need to win the game. So
didn't you have
that wasn't the
him?
Incentive. You know, I think they in the first half they were going bad. With their first team, and I think Vereen and Ridley, and I think they were. That's why they were going with it. It wasn't like, oh, this is working. We have to change up, because I don't think, you know. Again, it wasn't a game plan thing. It wasn't, oh, we have to win the game. So yeah. I think that's why you kept them. You know, they kept sticking to Ridley to see how they could do with him.
He also had a lot of carries. I mean, I don't remember exactly when they all came,
it was
but
10.
I believe he led the team
the
in carries.
Half, he
did he really?
He carried.
Yeah, I believe he didn't do
but
a
I
good
think
job.
I think it was 10 for 16 yards.
No, something. I believe it was 10 for 25 with a long of 16.
Oh, that's the 16 was sticking.
And
up.
He basically had one run and everything else was nothing.
Right.
But, I mean, this was also, remember, the third preseason game. He's not the starter.
Right.
He's not
going to
be the starter.
Right.
Yeah. It's Vereen. It's Ridley. These are your guys that you're going to go to battle with. So this is sort of their tune-up.
Yep.
Okay. I got two more questions, then I'm done. With Dobson, should we be expecting more yards after catch with him, or is he just not
I'd just settle for the catch.
Situation to do that?
Well, using Paul's theory, if you didn't get open, it means even if you catch it, there's a guy right there to tackle you.
I'd
when
settle
you
for the catch.
Well, his history, though, is making catches in tough spaces and
right,
usually,
he doesn't get open,
but usually that doesn't add up to yards after catch because
right.
you're
because you have no space right. to move you the guy's right there to wrap you up
right.
Yeah, I'm with Dan. I'd like to see him get downfield.
I think Boyce is
plays.
The guy that when he does make a play, he'll have yards after
he's,
catch.
He's supposed to be a playmaker out of the slot or wherever it is. He's supposed to be a playmaker.
Yeah.
All right, and my final thing is a comment and a question on Andy and Paul's role in the broadcast. I think, as a lot of people have already said, that it's useful, and I think it's a bit underutilized.
Yep.
And I agree wholeheartedly with the Waldorf-Statler comparison. And I got to give Andy credit for, because kind of towards the end, it seemed like all they were doing was beating up on you guys for the resemblance. And there was one thing where they did the Twitter shot of Statler and Waldorf, and the two shot of Paul and Andy. And Andy did a great job of actually. They were just setting you up for laughs, but Andy did a great job of sneaking in some actual knowledge. Did a nice little I can't remember what it was about. But
Bill
nice
Berry thought that was good, too.
Yeah, Fred, yeah. I actually said, I have an actual football point here, too, or something exactly. that I wanted to bring up.
But the question I have on that is Andy's voice is distinctly different in that, and I just wonder if it's actually really Andy's voice or whether they listened to the last broadcast before you did the first preseason game, which was just Paul and Andy. On August 8th, and all it took was Paul taking a breath in the first 5 minutes for Andy to jump in and reveal yet again just how much it's always on his mind. as a reminder, if you don't recall the specific instance, Andy seized on Paul's use of the word blow. And so I'm just wondering if sort of they've heard that and gone, yeah, maybe this guy can't actually speak for himself. Well,
I have a TV persona and a radio persona, and they are different. They are different mediums. One is long form, one is short form.
Yeah, and Dan, I'm just myself.
You
know,
yeah, you are.
I don't try.
Yeah, blow hard all the time.
I don't try to put on any kind of front.
That was a common
press anybody.
Critique
all right,
last
thanks,
week.
Dan.
Not enough
thanks,
Andy. God. Paul never let me talk last week is what I heard from fans.
Yeah, a common critique by one person.
Yeah. Kevin, did we get No Socks on the phone yet?
I left a message for him.
Okay.
No return yet.
All right.
Speaking of my voice, do you ever think, Fred, that I sound like, be that as it may now, John Dennis?
No.
Got a lot of those.
Really?
And I don't care for it. I don't want to sound like John Dennis.
Okay.
I don't. I'd like to take his paycheck. I'd be happy to take the paycheck, but I don't want to sound
I
like
I wouldn't
him.
Mind having a real broadcaster's voice without, all the pomposity.
Right, and the be that as it may. Three-part question from me.
Yeah, I don't need that. But I would like to
would
have
it not be said, then?
More of a professional voice. I don't have that.
Would it not be true then? He just says weird
phrases.
Well,
you have to practice it.
Fred, I think it would be fake.
The update is he's finishing his lunch and he's going to try to make it down.
And we don't need him to come down. We just need him to call in.
By the way, he made me laugh out loud in the email he sent us about the rating when he said it was like a 15.7. It was a little higher. And he said it helped that there was no socks. And he put in parentheses, as opposed to no socks with the two different spellings. Yeah. He laughed.
Matthew in Sterling, Virginia. Watch the game versus the Lions on NFL Network re-air the night of the game. Just wanted to see if any of you got to hear the play-by-play call from the Lions TV crew. The screen pass to Reggie Bush in the first quarter where he had a big gain for the Lions was absolutely hysterical. The play-by-play guy called it like, the Giants won the pennant! The Giants won the pennant! So over the top.
Fred, you're right.
It's a Super Bowl.
And P.S., you guys need to be on 7 days a week. Thanks for the best sports talk show in the world.
We can't even get to four or five. Never mind
I can
seven.
Give you five if they give us the weekends off.
Just don't cover the game.
It was a long, long delay.
Some games. He'll have to cover the Jets game.
I'm reading emails at the same time.
Fred, who did you give as you're not going to be here's?
I said Beckett and Adrian Wilson.
I'm going to go Adrian Leon Wilson's Washington, Adrian Wilson, and say that the offseason of free agency was not a good one.
That was what Christian's point was when you were eating your nachos.
Christian called?
A very disappointing offseason. Again, if that were to be the case.
And also include some dead money. Certainly for, I know it's like $1 million for Wilson. I don't know what it is.
I actually think that might save Dowling. They actually would owe Dowling more on the cap.
Right. Especially
if they,
for him.
If they cut him.
Especially for him because there's a good chance that you're paying him either way. You're either paying the little bit more on the cap if you cut him or the little bit if you keep him, and he's probably going to go on IR, so he's technically not going to be on the roster in like a month.
Right. So
get four games out of him, beat the hell out of him, put him on IR.
And then he goes on IR, and it actually saves you money, you know, even if he's a player that you're not planning on keeping.
And if he doesn't, well, maybe now this is your chance.
Otherwise, you get a chance to give him one final shot, and he might turn out to be something, and that would be the way the Patriots would normally do things, is they planned on cutting him and didn't, and he would turn out to be Darrelle Revis.
I probably know the answer to this, but are there
a lot of bitterness in that.
No cuts that we're not projecting? I mean, we're putting all these guys in a group of could be, could not be.
There always does seem to be someone.
Yeah.
No one saw that one coming.
I feel like they're... Are we still putting Ballard in that cut mix?
I don't think Ballard's in the cut mix. I think Fels is in a lot of trouble because of his health.
Well, speaking of him, Marco in Houston said
Polo!
In Mike Reese's roster projection, he had the Patriots cutting Fels and Hooman, only keeping Gronk, Ballard, and Sudfeld.
And Devlin.
I thought he was crazy when I first saw his projection, but Ballard and Sudfeld have been starting. Do you think both Fels and Hooman could get cut?
Yes. Sure.
Yes.
I'd be surprised if both did together. I think that's a dangerous game to play physically.
I agree.
Ballard got absolutely killed on that 4th-and-1 play and continues to still limp the same. Now, maybe that's a good sign because I do think he's limped the same virtually since the spring. I don't think I've seen an increase in the limp or him favoring it anymore. Maybe that's just, as I like to call it, the gait, the new way he walks post-surgery.
Could be.
And so that maybe that's a good sign. Maybe they're seeing that, too. Well, this is just the way the guy... He's not going to be a fluid, good-looking athlete anymore, but he can get the job done.
Now, would Hooman and Fels fall into the category that I was talking about of you could cut them and probably have a pretty good chance of getting them back if you needed them?
I would certainly think one of them. Yeah, I do think it would be very doubtful that both would get snatched up.
I do, too. And
I mean, think, even though Fels is the best third tight end in football.
I think they're all, especially Fels, I think, is old enough now that... You know, unless some team was really in a
bind.
But
what about Baltimore? You know, they had Vasanthi Shenko, who was the talk of the town until he was cut yesterday.
And they obviously didn't need him, so.
Or he sucked.
Well, yeah, but what do you. I don't
Fels
want,
is
I don't
better
want,
than Shenko.
Okay.
Now, Eric is back for practice, and Eric's wearing a red polo. And I'm wondering, if you're going to go wear that, why not wear the Patriots Football Weekly red polo?
Because then someone might think he works with Andy.
I thought we were getting new ones, so I haven't been wearing those old ones.
Well, you are getting new ones.
I'm going to give you credit for that. That was good.
You can still wear the old ones until we get the new ones.
And the old one still matches what's actually on the paper for another week.
Right.
Okay.
He's embarrassed of us, Fred. It's just
I
what
well,
it is.
I, no, I hit the nail on the head.
I don't think he likes us.
Well, I think there's no question about that.
I don't
that.
Think there's any think involved
he
in
wants that. To be separated. He's like, you know, what's his name? LaDainian Tomlinson when we were beating the Chargers and he went and sat by himself on the bench. He's separating himself from the team.
He's not a team player and really hasn't maxed out his potential. A lot of Tomlinson comparisons.
Eric, should I pull an Andy and tell you the shot I was going to take earlier but didn't?
Oh, I think Tomlinson maxed out his potential.
Not as a winner.
Save it for off the air.
Okay. It was a good one.
Well, what do you got out there?
Great. Well,
great.
If you are to take Bill Belichick at his word, Rob Gronkowski has suffered a setback.
Ooh.
If you are to take Bill at his word.
So I'm going to say that
he had.
Can you give me the, whoa, this is huge.
Yeah.
The toneless version.
No, he had the biggest bug up his rear end that he has had in a long time.
Belichick.
Today. Yes.
What happened?
Well, he came in with the face and the scowl. Like
so
he,
something
you know,
happened.
Something he was already mad to begin with. And then our friend Albert Breer had the gumption to ask about Rob Gronkowski and how his health and rehab
so
is going.
Ridiculous,
and he just unloaded on poor Albert, who
did
his best to try to fight back.
Do I need to hear this?
You need to go back and listen to it because it was
awful. Well, do we have that sound yet, Kevin?
I can look for it. Hang on.
Okay.
And basically, Bert wanted to know, you know, yesterday we saw something a little different from Gronk than we had seen all summer. And Bill said, absolutely ridiculous. He hasn't missed a day of camp. He has done the exact same thing every single day.
And that's why I asked
we don't
Eric
know what it
exactly
is.
But that's not what Bert said. If he read it like you said, then we saw. Not you saw, we saw.
Right. Now,
we.
Right.
Not you, we.
Right. And so Bert followed up and said, yeah, well, I mean, he was in front of the media yesterday and Bill interrupted him. Those of us who've been here every day know what he's done every single day. He's done the exact same thing every single day of camp. He hasn't missed a day of camp.
I was here every day.
Right.
Yeah, literally did not miss one practice this year.
Now, which may be true. He may not have missed a practice, but he has been not
been
doing the exact
the field,
same thing every day.
Fans as they cheer.
He has not been doing the exact same
thing
every single day.
No. It's not necessarily
not
a lie.
It's not a lie.
But we didn't see the exact same thing that he
saw. And that's why I asked
so
Eric.
So yesterday, we saw something different.
Yesterday.
Right, and that was Bert's point. At practice,
right.
He has not been doing the exact same thing every day.
Well, he may have been, just not in front of us, because sometimes he came out of the bubble. He could have been on the game field when we were on the he could have done the exact same thing, and even during practice time, and then walked out.
He may have done it on a different field yesterday.
We didn't see
it. But that was Bert's whole point, was that what we were able to see of Gronk was different than what we had seen during camp. So today, what we saw was no Gronk. Setback, obviously.
So he didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that.
See, now you got us all worried, Eric.
Well,
you should worry.
And he set it up in a very sarcastic way. So
I knew what was coming, so don't worry.
My God, you should worry. You should panic if you're Patriots Nation.
First of all,
you should panic for this reason. If a guy is hurt and attempting to rehab, right?
Right.
You would expect that during the course of said rehab, he would make progress at some point. If you're doing the exact same thing every day for a month and a half, you've made zero progress.
We're getting into some.
Okay.
I'm taking him at his word.
I love it because
right.
it's going.
We're
going
to get back to this in a second, but we pulled.
Speaking of bugs up their ass, Eric, what do you got eating?
We pulled no socks, Matt Smith, away from his lunch.
And he has no socks on.
Now, for this preseason game on Thursday, it's our broadcast, correct?
Yes, sir.
Someone just told us that the NFL Network is listing this as a game that's going to be live on NFL Network.
Correct. I think Patriot fans would want it. Well, that's good for Patriot fans across the country.
Yeah.
Although I would recommend that they go to Patriots.com to watch it.
Okay. No, we can't. I got my wrist slapped.
We got in trouble for that.
After the Philly game?
Yeah.
Good
no, after the last
no,
game.
No, after the last
game. After the
Lions
game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got two.
Good for you.
We got two in.
Good. NFL Network is doing their own show, and while nobody has said this to me, I assume, because NFL Network's first game is September 12th, the home opener here for the Patriots, they're looking at this as a rehearsal, because Mayock and Brad Nessler, is that the play-by-play guy? Yeah. Those guys are doing the game.
So they're not even using our broadcast?
Never going to get on NFL Network?
That is so bogus.
Right, so we never got a chance to be on NFL Network, Andy.
I was ready.
That's bogus. It really is. So we're actually going to have two simultaneous broadcasts.
If you count the Giants, there will be three broadcasts of the game. The
Giants
show,
the
Patriots show, and the National show.
Okay. Well,
this is like, you know what? This is the biggest preseason game ever. It's like the last game of the season in 2007 when everybody but C-SPAN covered it live.
Right.
If you are in the Patriots Football Network area, Don't you dare watch this on NFL Network. You must watch this on BZ with the Patriots broadcast.
Especially if you want credible analysis.
Right.
If you want to hear Mayock tell you how 1-90 they're the best team in football and everybody's great, and by the way, they had the greatest practices ever this week, he's never seen anything better on a practice field, listen to that. But if you want reality, go to
Mike,
us.
Right. But Mike, there's only 75 guys on the roster.
I don't care. They're good to 90.
Plus, where else can you get Steve Burton?
We're taking open shots at him now. This is a radio show, you know.
He'll never hear.
Look at he cracks himself up. But
what was that? The guy said he'll never hear this.
I don't think that was appropriate.
Yeah, I see.
All right, well, I appreciate you clearing that up, Matt.
That's unfortunate, though, because Andy and I were looking forward to being on it.
We got excited. We thought maybe they'd be carrying our broadcast.
So this eliminates, we won't even be the broadcast if they re-air it. They'll use their own again.
They'll just use their own.
Right.
Yeah. That's
I got to talk to my agent.
There goes our residuals.
Sorry about that. You guys are counting on that, huh?
Not counting on it.
No,
but
I just thought it was a neat little...
And trip. I actually wanted the guy who does the whip or whatever to freak out a little. Like, if he threw to our game and it was us on the Bob Studio, like, what the hell is this that I'm throwing to? This isn't even a game.
Yeah, because all the games are going to be on Thursday.
Matt,
right?
How's
right.
my halftime piece coming out?
I wish I could say we've started working on it, Fred.
Okay.
But the premiere has taken precedent.
Oh.
I guess I just decided that that's tonight. So
oh, I love
we figured out.
I love those.
We figured out a couple things that they're going to introduce the team and everything. They just figured that out this morning. So we've got to work on that a little bit.
And you wonder where I get my bitterness
well,
from.
Well, you know, he's got a point. It's something that's been scheduled since last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the rundown was actually talked about by some people in, like, May of exactly how they should do this.
Right. It's all good. Okay. It's all good. And your halftime piece is going to be terrific. And we'll
you going to get his hairy hand out of it? He has a hairy hand that he has.
I didn't do any pointing.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We tried that once, and I was like, oh, my God, who's that ape?
What else? What else we got? What's the what's going on with the know-it-alls today?
Yeah, what else you got out in practice in Bill?
Well, it's like a fire extinguisher on the Gronk mania. Was,
besides bitterness,
now Eric has come. He's furious,
loaded for bear.
He's usually furious after a Bill Belichick press conference, but today,
well, he mistreated one of our colleagues just in the most unfair way. It really was. I mean, it was
like,
even for
like
him.
It.
Even
Albert
for
Breer
him
wouldn't have a career if it wasn't for Bill Belichick.
That's a good point. Good point.
Still, that doesn't give you the right to treat somebody.
Why don't
that
you
way.
Call him the kingmaker?
He is. Look at all the coaches that got jobs because
failed.
Failed miserably, thanks to him.
That doesn't matter. What they do once they get there is up to them. But he gets them there.
So,
so he abused Breer.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
terrific.
Still,
he's just cracking himself up over here.
Yes, I get what you mean.
It wasn't right. It wasn't right, and it was misconstruing the facts.
You said
in his argument,
which are
well, it's not much there. It's a distinction without much
Albert
of a difference.
Albert said, you know, because Gronk, you know, was doing a little bit more than we had seen him do. Said, you know, so he's doing more. You know, that's what he said.
Well, he was asking for an update on his progress, yeah. And Bill flipped out. And
did
started,
he really flip out?
Yes, he flipped out. He
we're going to get the sound.
No,
so
he did.
Make sure you're accurate.
I wouldn't count on it.
He was.
I mean, is this just going through your filter?
No, everybody there reacted the same way.
I've never seen him flip out.
You know what I mean? He got.
No, I don't.
What
I
do you mean
know.
By what do you mean by flip out?
Like,
what
would like raise his voice and yelled at somebody.
So you have to yell to flip
he
out?
He wasn't
yeah.
yelling.
Okay,
no, but he was being.
Fred.
No,
I've never seen
all
him
right.
flip out. I've seen him flip out many times, but
did he
I've never
flip out when
yell.
He stopped to talk to me in the locker room?
No,
he
no.
was mad.
He used
according,
F-bombs.
According to Fred, no.
Okay,
I think that,
yell,
I think that's flipping out.
Flip out.
The exchange as
yeah, that's a really interesting point, Andy.
Thanks, Bill.
Not
the exchange that they had was, as other people remarked, the worst they have seen him this summer.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And the worst he's been in a while.
Now, who's the other?
Not the other. Oh. Everybody else
we're just
that you talk to.
Wasn't Andy's buddy Burton. Yesterday? Didn't he not report things very accurately as far as – didn't Florio kind of go out on a limb and say that Gronk joins individual drills? I mean –
He didn't.
Wasn't,
he said that?
That's flat out false.
Right. He is the wrongest of people all the time.
The headline. The headline. Gronk participates in individual drills.
Inaccurate. I saw something on NFL.com that was patently false along
right.
those lines.
And so I think my point is –
Which is why
is,
I think NFL.com is the worst website in the planet.
I think my point is there was a lot of – bad reporting that went on
yes.
yesterday as far as this.
Yep.
And I'm not here to differentiate and parse words about what he's been doing since camp started or what he's not been doing. But I think all the terrible reporting that happened yesterday probably got back to him, culminated with Breer.
That could be.
And Breer started it off, and he just wanted to blast off because of
that
shoddy
could be,
reporting.
That could be very...
Could be.
Yeah.
That's a case, though, where you have to stop, actually listen to the person talking to you,
right,
absorb the question that they're asking, and then answer it in a human being-like fashion.
But the bigger question is, you put him on the field yesterday in front of the media. You chose to do that. Whoever you is, whether it's Bill Belichick or Joe Van Allen,
which
the director
was different
of rehab,
than what we had seen.
We hadn't seen
the
that.
Summer.
And
why was it different?
Don't think that was by accident.
And why are you pretending it wasn't different? My guess is you want the first three teams on your schedule to be preparing for Rob Gronkowski.
And my
you
guess
want the
is,
fear of the, them.
And my guess is he's not up in arms at all about the quote-unquote shoddy reporting yesterday. I think he thinks that's fabulous.
Right.
And that's exactly,
the more confusion
that's
out
exactly
there, the better,
what he was looking
right?
for. And that's exactly why he did it.
Right.
So and why did he yell at Albert?
I thought that yesterday, and Albert. It was proven to me in my mind, because you know how my warped mind works, the fact that he wasn't out there today is proof that they did it as a dog and
on
pony
purpose.
Show yesterday on purpose.
Absolutely.
But I don't think it's a stretch for someone to then assume he had a setback. If he works out every day,
no,
and Bill told me he worked. No, but
if you take him at his word.
Using him at his word, he has done the same thing every practice.
But how do you know he didn't do that today?
To work out. Well, then he didn't do the same yesterday. One of the days he didn't do the same thing.
No, but he's talking about the right. workout. Is the same.
No, I know. But why did we
not
see it yesterday and not see it today?
Right, so either...
So
yeah.
it's not the same.
It's not either...
We saw something
exactly.
different yesterday.
Yes, and well, we saw something different today from yesterday.
From yesterday.
Now,
which
we
may
saw
have been
something
the same
different
as the
day before
48.
That from yesterday. So
right. So yesterday was different. That's the only way you can finish that.
I understand that.
It was different.
But my point is, to Bill, it's not different depending on what he did.
Well... if
that's
Bert
all.
Had, I haven't listened to it. If he said, Bill, you saw something different from Rob Gronkowski yesterday, then I'm with Bill 1,000%. But if he said, we saw something different with Rob Gronkowski yesterday, then
the
I'm with Bert 1,000%.
I am not defending
him.
He
worded it by saying, you know, you put him out in front of the media, and before he could even finish the thought.
See, now that's why he was mad.
But it's factually
I
accurate.
Know, but
as Andy was trying to say.
Why was he mad at that?
Because he hears it.
He's a little ball of hate.
You ready, guys?
That's true.
You got
too.
It?
Yeah, let's hear it instead of speculating.
Well, every decision we make on a player comes down to two things, really. What's best for the player and what's best for the team. When those are the same, it's easy. When they're not, then you have to... something has to give.
It was a generic
question
first.
You have to make a call one way or the other. So that's the way it is with everything.
Is it hard to hold a roster spot for a player who might not be ready the first couple weeks?
I think it's just what I said it was. Each situation is independent. Depends on the situation. Depends on what your other options are, what the injury is, how long you're talking about, what the expectations are for, you know, what kind of depth you have at that position. I mean, you know, you can go on and on. Each situation is different.
He's
been out here every day. He's been in camp the whole... He hasn't missed a day of camp. He was here the first day of camp. He's been doing the same thing every day. He's been doing the same thing every day. Same thing every day. For those of us that have been here, it's the same thing every day. Same thing every day.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh. He did not flip out.
Yeah, he didn't flip out. He
was not polite.
I also don't think he crossed the...
That's typical, Bill.
He did.
It was different.
To me, he didn't cross over into not the facts, not truth until the last answer, where he said... Bert said he was out there yesterday, and Bill said he's been doing the same. No, that was different yesterday.
And to that point, I'm with Andy, and to that point... Bert could have said, and then he raped his mother, and Bill said same thing every day.
Right.
At that point, that was going to be the answer no matter what Bert said. He didn't even hear what Bert said on the fourth time he said he's done the same thing every day.
Yeah, but
I don't take it. To me, I'm with Bill on this one.
You're with Bill?
I absolutely am. I see.
He's always with Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the typical way that he normally deals with injuries. He's not going to get into it.
Right.
And for him, I think that the it that he's talking about is the rehab work, not where he's doing it. And the last time that he said in front of us that Bert said that, by that time he was not even paying attention.
That may be.
You're probably right. But, Eric, come on.
Those of us who were there, you could see his face.
We just heard it.
Was it the thin skin club that was up there?
I know. Come on.
Oh, it's the Oh, Woe Was Me club. That doesn't get any
answers.
No, I
know that. Right.
Okay, fine.
Because, I mean, a guy like Ron Borges guy wouldn't have taken that.
No, you're right. Bill was right. Bill's always right. Never mind.
Oh, for God. Now you're going to see? You are thin-skinned.
You could take your ball and go home if you want. I just didn't get the same impression of it that you did. That's all.
All right, that's fine.
I mean, you can hear answers to the same questions and get different interpretations.
Right.
Is that not allowed?
No, it's allowed.
So we're just not going to have a show, or we're not going to analyze it? You're just going to stop? You know, getting into
I think he's behaved that way with several questions this preseason.
I think I've proven that I don't just take Bill's side on things very often. I don't see anything wrong with what that, that whole encounter was.
You know, I've heard him say something to that, vein. You know, it's the same thing every day. Or for those of us
But this is why I asked Eric specifically before you left about what he had done yesterday, because I agree with what Matt said. I think the reporting yesterday was shoddy. Now, not on our part. Eric had exactly what happened.
The national guys.
The national guys made more out of what he did yesterday than he did.
Right.
And the people who weren't here.
And that's why I wanted the clarification. Now, when he was working rehab lower field, Eric, he was in shorts and a T-shirt and sort of running around kind of like, that's the first time we had seen it. But he didn't do anything. As Matt says, they were reporting nationally
team
that he
drills.
Was doing individual drills.
Right.
Well, that's a violation of PUP.
Exactly.
Right.
So I knew he didn't do that, and I just wanted to get clarification that he didn't do that.
Only
so I can understand Bill's side of it. This is what he's been doing every day.
And again, maybe he had been contacted by the league. Because the league has
That might be why he's annoyed.
The league has a right to audit every practice, and maybe they read those reports. It's like, whoa.
What the hell is he doing? That might be why Bill was annoyed.
He might have just spent 20 minutes with some suit from the league saying, you're nuts.
Right. So,
a
little bit of information.
I'm about to fly off here.
Some guy doing his job, by the way.
A little bit of information. Vice President of Media Relations, Stacey James, was in my office yesterday, and he got a call from one of his staff members. And Stacey's looking at his phone, incredulously going, was Rob Gronkowski doing individual drills at practice?
There you go.
That's it.
And so,
as Rich Eisen would say, there you go.
Right. Yep. And so
he's looking at it.
And
there it is.
He asked me about it, and I said, Stacey, there is a report on Pro Football Talk. He goes, that didn't happen. And I said, I think there's some bad reporting.
Okay,
that's
so that's
where
I blame
this is
people that trust
from.
That site, honestly. And this isn't just a shot. That site has been wrong enough that I know of. That I take everything they write with a grain of salt.
Somebody.
No, he's not, because he didn't get it from us when he claimed he got it from us.
Listen,
that's where this whole fight started.
I think he does it on purpose.
Report, he parroted from somebody.
But he tries to take it. He pushes it beyond whatever he's getting as actual information, and he misinforms people.
I
think people should know better than to put any faith in anything he writes.
They overrate things that happen, and everybody's guilty of that, but I think that he does it on purpose because he knows that if I just say that Rob Gronkowski was running around on the lower field, that's not going to get clicks. But if I say that he was returned to make something out of it, that's going
to
get clicks.
To me,
he
locally,
doesn't care that it's wrong.
It's enough of a story for me to just have him doing it in front of the media, whatever he was doing. Wasn't team drills, but that's a step.
Right.
I said that at the beginning of the show.
That was the story that Eric wrote.
That's the story Bill's not willing to acknowledge.
No, but that's a,
But that's what, but
Eric
that
was
is
there.
The story
he saw
locally.
It happen. He reported it. That's a positive step. We haven't seen that before.
But it's the same.
Yeah, but you could say
same
that that's
thing.
A positive
done
step.
Done the same thing.
I don't think it's a positive step.
I think
step.
It's the
I
same
thing. What he's done.
I think Bill is being truthful in this point that it is the same thing.
But the weather was nicer, so we came outside?
No, he wanted the first three teams to prep for it. He wanted it out there.
Fred,
that Gronk is
all,
not dead.
For all I know, he does it outside every single day. We just don't
we
see
just
it.
We just don't see it.
No, but he didn't do
we
it did during practice.
I think
in
that they
camp.
Did it on
exactly.
purpose during the media window. For the dog
right.
and pony show.
So
right.
it's different.
They had an hour and a half.
That's
they could
have
done it when we weren't
here.
There, but
well,
they decided to do it when we were there.
Interpretation is different.
Now, he could be out there.
I don't think that's different.
Right now, for
how
all we know.
How is that not different? When the media sat out there for 43 straight days or whatever the hell it was, never saw Rob Gronkowski run and work out, and then this day they saw him run and work out. Same thing as every day. Excuse me? Pardon me, I was out there every day. He didn't do this every day, so
right.
it's not the same thing.
But exactly. not surprisingly.
You're actually allowing him to piss on your head and tell you it's raining.
Fred,
and you're
Fred.
saying, thanks
is,
for the shower,
what
Bill.
What I'm saying is I don't care what time of day he does it. If he's only doing the same thing. Now, I might be guilty of taking him at his word. I could be that could be wrong.
No, I'm taking him at his word.
Because he's lied to us a million times
the
in the past. The
activity is the same, but it's not the
it's,
same
but
thing
that's,
he's done all through camp.
But
there's
provided that the activity is the same, I'm fine
with what
he said.
Well, when he did it, it's different.
Right.
No, that's,
and that's who he difference. Did it in front of instead of just Joe Van Allen and him. And it's us.
Oh, here we go. When I were alive.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday.
Yeah.
That's not even yesterday.
Yeah, that's
that wasn't yesterday.
Practices.
That's during camp.
Right.
Yeah,
unless not, the media got a lot bigger.
More misinformation being spewed about.
It's unbelievable.
ESPN has
right.
yesterday. It's not yesterday. It was
yesterday,
weeks ago.
Yesterday, there's fans in the stands.
That is ridiculous. I can't believe
now
that.
It doesn't
now
say
they lost it.
Now it doesn't
they
say yesterday.
They lost the Super on there.
We're talking about ESPN. They're showing practice.
But it does not say yesterday anymore. So let's.
Yeah,
I,
they took it off.
But it did.
But I assume that was a mistake.
Well, maybe they should put up, sorry, not yesterday.
No, listen,
they didn't correct it,
no,
so
but,
everybody
okay,
assumes.
No, but listen, if I'm a viewer and they start showing Patriots practice and in the upper right it says yesterday and they keep showing Patriots practice, I'm assuming everything they show me
right.
from yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Just like when
it's
they put
misleading.
Like courtesy of BZ or something, unless you tell me, go back and fix it, it's not really BZ, it's actually CVB or whatever.
Right.
I assume it's BZ.
Right. It's misleading.
A little bit quick information because I know we're running out of time. Evan Landy and Anthony Rashad White was the final cut to get down to 75. They officially announced those two
moves. Okay. So Tebow's still on the team.
Yes, I told you he would be. Somebody has to play
Somebody
quarterback
has
on
to
Thursday.
Play Thursday.
You have gotten me so angry in the last 15 minutes of this show. I can't believe it.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this show. No show on Thursday, but we do have a pregame social.
PPGS 5:15.
Mark Bertrand going to be here on time.
Yes,
he claims.
Okay, and if you're in the Patriots Football Network region, you want to make sure you watch our broadcast, not NFL Network's. And for me, I'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.